Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody. Can you hear me? You can hear me though, right? Something's going on with Donnie's microphone. Oh, I just lost the dog. So we're starting off in an odd stream. It is Saturday night, September 9th. Welcome, everybody. I have nothing big to start with, so it would be lovely if we get some people to call in. Let me look and see if I've got anything saved from this week. We've got, goodness gracious, now my computer's acting all weird. Oh, Biden's over at the G20. And I know that they condemned the Ukrainian war, but they have not called out Russia as the aggressor. I don't know what the hell that does. I really don't know what it does just to condemn a war. Like, the people at war are going to go, oh, no, somebody's mad at us. We're going to stop. I know he went and talked, when he went to talk to Saudi Arabia, he totally butchered the guy's name. Which doesn't bode well for talks about getting them to start pumping more oil to lower gas prices, if you can't even say the guy's real name. Morocco just had a huge earthquake. So far, 2,000 people are dead. And many people are still missing. And everybody's sleeping under the stars. I'm trying to think of what, Marrakesh is where it was at, yeah. And that's a rarity for them. They don't normally see earthquakes.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Well, I'm on my phone. Hang on. All right. I'm here.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Pianki, you're on. And let me get Gene on. Gene, you're on. Hello.
Hello. My phone's been acting really stupid all day, so no promises.
Okay. Well, join the club. So, everything's messing up today.
Hey, so, real quick while I'm thinking about it. Scott wanted to do 2 hours tomorrow, I guess.
We're going to do what?
2 hours.
When, tonight?
Tomorrow.
For the UAW show.
Oh, are we?
Well, there's a strike looming Thursday midnight.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I can make
I'll tell him I told you.
Mentioned our illustrious president yesterday or last night, and the UAW, and how electric cars will screw us over, the working class people. So,
you know, we're talking about that. We were, I'm like, one, we've already said on the show several times our electric grid can't even handle it, okay? But stop and think about it. Our government is pushing the big three to go into electric vehicles, right?
Right.
Who is going to come in and do combustibles? China. China will have a major market share because the American people are not going to want to buy EVs. A majority of Americans don't want EVs. Okay? So what's that going to happen? It's going to close the big three, and China is going to own us more. Who's in bed with China? Who's in bed with China? Biden. Deep state. Whatever.
Oh, you're...
Sorry.
I think you're probably right about that. That's pretty much what Trump said, that China will turn around and make combustible engines, and we will be stuck with making things that don't sell, and then there goes the UAW.
Well, UAW
voted for him, didn't he?
No.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of union members that did not vote for him.
There's a lot more voted for Trump than Biden. No, that's what they say. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, there's a lot of UAW members for Republican UAW members for Trump, UAW women for Trump. I mean, there's all sorts of groups about that.
Yeah, there
so, is. And even, it's like even when people talked in the plant, you could tell who was supporting Biden and who was supporting, you know. And if you supported Trump, you had to keep it on the down low. But there were a lot of people that were keeping it on the down low that were supporting Trump. But traditionally, the union has supported the Democratic Party. But Sean Fain, the new president, has even said they've got to earn their endorsement. It's not just given.
Right.
Well, that was a different Democratic Party back in them days.
I agree. Speaking of the Democratic and the Republican Party, Don, I emailed you an interview with two black women. It was the walking movement. And as long as we're talking about this, it would be a great time to play it.
They were pretty knowledgeable, weren't they?
That one lady, she was saying some things that I didn't even know about. You know, I mean, granted, I'm not the most educated person and all, but it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bomb. That was a bombshell.
Yeah, Bianchi sent that to me yesterday or 2 days ago. Man. And they were awesome.
I think you need to play it.
If I can, I will. I'm having all kinds of problems tonight with Blog Talk.
You are too?
Yeah. Blog Talk again. But I'll try to play that because I did want to. And I've seen that you sent me an email. Let me see if I can bring that up. Okay, what am I looking for? Gary Wright died, by
the
way.
You sound like you've had a long day.
I'm tired.
I'm sorry. You sound like you've had a long day.
Yeah. Had a long 5 days. Let's see here. Where's my mail at? I don't know where my mail's gone. My mail's gone. No, there it is. Hang on, guys. We're going to try to get to this. I don't even know if it'll play, but we're going to try it. Gene must play tonight, and you're right. Let's see. Okay.
I should have figured that Bianchi sent it to you.
Yeah, it was on my phone, though. Can you hear that?
No.
No.
I just freaking figured. Okay, let me try this way. There's only one other way I can try this. And that I do want to put in is the internet. All right. I'm making a peanut butter sandwich, though. I ain't got to be getting involved.
Peanut butter sandwich.
And I have one.
Well, somebody can talk. That's not the only
thing. Oh, we were trying to be quiet so that we knew if we heard it or not.
Oh, you don't hear it. You guys will hear it. Okay. Be right with you guys.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay.
So
we're waiting patiently.
Are the big three? They're not going totally electric yet, are they? They're doing kind of half and half, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, but still, their goal is what, by 2030 or 35 to be producing more EV than combustible, I think, or all EV, something like that. It's stupid, in my opinion. Stupid business move.
We're not ready for, the world isn't ready for a complete EV.
No. No, not at all. But our power grid can't even handle it, you know?
No. Not when they're doing rolling brownouts in California and the Southwest.
Right.
I heard they had a rolling brownout the other day in California. I don't know exactly where.
And they're the ones
if they're doing rolling blackouts just because of air conditioning, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, common sense tells you that we can't be charging all these cars. Because everything we want to charge at different times, number one. Number two, if they're driving and they need to stop and charge, you know, I mean, shoot, you can fill your tank faster than you can charge the vehicle.
It seems to me if we want to get greenhouse gases down, that we start poking at everything that does the greenhouse, that you don't slam into it until you're ready. Sure, produce some EV cars, but you're going to have, in turn, they're going to have to, you know, fix the power grid. Plus, they're going to have to, in turn, change how we produce electricity.
Oh, yeah. But still, it's like...
Start cutting down on flight.
Well, they're talking about the carbon emissions that they do, right? And actually, EVs will be producing more carbon than combustible. And we don't want to reduce our carbon. We don't. Especially where they wanted to go down to zero. Because no carbon, no trees, no oxygen. We're dead. Our carbon is not that high anyway. So it's just a bunch of baloney that they have fed us. But the EVs will produce more than actually combustible. And then you have how efficient are they when they're done, you know, they're going to contribute more to landfills and more dangerous because of battery acid, because there's, you know, way more battery in those vehicles, less to be able to recycle in those vehicles. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, as a whole, we are great at, oh my God, we're doing this, so we've got to switch to that, and just producing waste another way. I mean, everybody got all excited about the plastic, and now we're poisoning half the ocean with the plastic. And
poisoning.
Okay, we got to recycle, but then they don't have it set up efficiently where they can recycle the stuff. I mean, we go too fast from one way to the other, and we're still making messes.
I don't think it's half the ocean, but it's a, you know, a sizable amount. It's just a matter that they don't think things through, and they run their, I mean, like what AOC said, you know, from cow farts. And it was funny because somebody posted a meme. Cows, the only thing they do is they're vegetarians and they produce gas. Isn't that what a vegetarian does?
Yeah. And
so should we omit?
Hasn't anybody ever lived with teenage boys, for crying out loud?
Well, I'm talking, but they're not cannibalistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the worst you got out of them is a fart?
It's like this. If you don't control, release all that's being produced, it's going to come up on its own volition and be all over the place. And you have what they call stovepipe emissions at the ocean bed, releasing sulfur and everything else, and it comes right on up to the top surface, goes right into the atmosphere. And what happens when Old Faithful blows this thing? That'd be filled clean over to Michigan. So these people are pulling your leg.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
But we go running towards something else, and we say, okay, this is going to be due. But then we turn around, and we don't think about, okay, so like nuclear, we don't think about the waste from that, because Fukushima is now going to release more of the water. They're going to do like a major release of
the
radioactive water.
Yeah, they did. One of the convention states' proposals is term limits, not only for elected officials who they think that should have no more than 18 years and no one person, 24. It'll be 3 terms for a U.S. senator and 9 two-year terms for a congressperson or representative. But also it needs to be term limits for government officials, the ones that work in the service course, the civil service. They should be limited also. I mean, if you want, airline pilots are limited. Once they reach a certain age, they got to go. Controllers, once they reach a certain age, they got to go. What do you think of that, Donnie?
Oh, I agree. I do. I guess you heard Nancy Pelosi's running again.
Yeah, I heard
that. That was not a rumor.
That's not a rumor.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why?
Wow.
But you
want to
get in on the money.
Well,
I
mean,
what's
his name?
What you got is these foreign entities is buying off your politicians. They're want access to U.S. markets. China wouldn't be what it is in producing the millionaires that it has if it wasn't for their access to U.S. markets. And even Brits, look at those countries individually. what do they manufacture and produce other than Russia? So they want to have access to U.S. markets. Americans got money in their pocket. They got pockets. They got money. In their country, you can't sell the empty pockets. They got empty pockets. Some of them can't even pay the electric bills if there's electricity available. Think.
Yeah, Canada right now is going through, they're looking into foreign influence into their elections.
What do you mean, looking into?
Oh, looking into, like, just influence, regular influence peddling, not so much, you know, at the ballot box, but influencing individuals in their national elections. So paying certain politicians, we want you to talk about things this way or that way.
Canada's jumped off the bridge, as far as I'm concerned.
Sorry, I'm outside.
What they're doing in Canada is what they want to do here.
Well, you know, another thing, Science Magazine, some scientists have discovered, is that the moon is inching away from the Earth. And as it does, it causes the Earth to spin slower. It's just like a skater that's spinning on the ice with her arms is out. She spins slow. When she brings her arms in, she spins fast. Called moment inertia. So what happens, Cinnamon, when the Earth turns, rotates slower? Any guesses?
Go ahead.
It's just like when you put that big hunk of meat on a rotisserie.
Yeah. I guess what you're saying. You stay where you're going to get meat.
You're going to get bait.
Yeah. They're also saying that because the Earth's rotation around the sun is not complete circle. It's elliptical.
Right.
And that we, besides the sun activity being higher at the moment, we are also closer to the sun at the moment in our path around the sun.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something. I know you work in the medical field. What's the maximum temperature can a human body expand?
No idea.
God.
If you stick a thermometer in somebody's mouth or wherever, and it comes back out reading 108 degrees, doctors do?
Yeah, 108 is pretty much brain dead.
Absolutely. And it don't have to get, you don't have to wake up all of a sudden the next minute you're 108. It's gradually. The sun is gradually heating up there. And
wait a minute.
You're either going to die or you're going to do what? You're going to adapt. And can we associate some of the behavior we're seeing out of people today is that their body is adapting in a negative way? Hell, they may start growing horns or something off the top of their head, Donnie.
Then out there, though. Is the Earth heating up more? Really? Or if you cut down more trees and eliminated a lot of the shade that would used to be...
Well, you know, here's another thing. You breaking up, Gene.
I thought it was me because I was out here in the back 40.
Here's another thing, too. We talk about trees. Hominids. We all know there was a period of time that our oldest ancestors, as people believe in their direction, they lived in trees. They had to because they had to stay away from those animals that wanted to prey on them, like saber-toothed tigers and so forth.
Okay.
Well, guess what? Climate change caused a decimation of many of the trees, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Because you look at it today, you can see where everything is desert from the north down to about the equator. Then there's a little patch area of still foliage trees. Well, when it started decimating those trees, those animals couldn't live in those trees and go from tree to tree to tree because it just wasn't available. So they had to come down to the ground. And they was on all fours. Then sooner or later, they got on 2 feet. And then they had to perfect some sort of weapon system, blunt sticks. Then they learned to put a sharp point on the sticks so that they could pierce the flesh of their predators. So if it hadn't been for climate change, we'd probably still be crawling around on all fours. Funny how this stuff works together.
Yeah.
Well, that one I'm going to fully disagree.
All right, I think I got the dog calmed down. Jeez Louise. No, loss of trees is a big thing.
It's huge. It reduces the oxygen in the air. With a reduction of carbon, it's like instead of worrying about vehicles and cow farts, we should be planting a lot more trees. And it was still a problem, very, very, very much so. But as far as people climbing around and living in trees and being on all fours, that's pretty far-fetched. That's as far-fetched as the lizard people and aliens, in my opinion.
Well, there were hominids. There were several species, Australopithecus. You had Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Neanderthals. They were for real. Hey, but you know, you talk about carbon, Gene, and you a gardener. You compost?
Yes, I do.
What's one of the key things that you have to put in your compost? Don't you put leaves in there?
I put leaves, I put paper, I put cardboard boxes, I put, I need carbon.
Yeah, that's carbon.
Yep.
You gotta have the carbon.
Yep. Yes, you do. Without carbon, it won't decompose.
No, it sits there.
It's not enough water either. We need the carbon for many, many, many reasons. You know. So.
And I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to reduce how much we put into the air. That's fine and good. You have to work at it slowly. You can't do it overnight unless aliens came down and gave us technology to do it. You can't do it overnight without causing all sorts of other problems. Why aren't they on the back end? Why aren't they looking at it another way and looking at what to do with extra carbon?
But, I mean, in all reality, we don't have that much extra carbon, okay? Even when you look to the, when they were doing the congressional hearings regarding the money that they wanted to reduce carbon, it's like they couldn't answer the questions about, well, how much do we really need to reduce it? And how much will it reduce if we do everything you say how long will it take to reduce to what you want? And they couldn't even answer that. But we don't have that much extra carbon in the atmosphere, as they claim. They make it sound like they made COVID sound, you know? And like I said, if we put trees back in neighborhoods, it would solve it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we put more trees.
Go ahead. Oh, exactly.
More trees, more plants.
I mean, if you look at, if they keep saying they want to do 5-minute cities.
15 minutes.
So they're gonna jam all these people into a city area, and a city itself is a huge carbon footprint because there's no trees, there's no vegetation. So it's going to just heat up. It's a big heat sink that's going to be reflecting back up into the atmosphere, whether there's extra carbon up there to bounce it back down or not. It's going to just reflect it right back up there. I don't understand. Like I said, they seem to go at everything like in one lens and don't look at everything else. They never look down the line, it seems to me.
No, I'm like,
you're breaking up bad, Jean.
I'm sorry.
Oh, now you're clear.
We talked last week about
Okay, again, we're breaking up bad.
We can't hear nothing.
I'll try calling back in.
All right.
Okay.
I'm trying to get that two ladies on. I'm still working on it. Lori Ann, you're on with us. Thank you for waiting for me to. I'm having block talk problems again.
Uh-oh. What's going on with block talk? I noticed the chat isn't open.
Oh, it isn't? Beautiful. Well, we'll get that.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was part of the problems that you're talking about, but what's going on with Blog Talk now?
Well, I can't play anything right now.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, PRK. How you doing? Hi. And hey, Cinnamon. Hopefully Jean calls back in. I'll say hi to her when she does.
We have Alabama, and we have a Skype.
Hello.
Hello, one and all. How are you doing out there in conservative talk radio land?
I know, that's right. We're watching the moon. That's all we do.
Okay, well, that sounds like a very conservative activity.
Hey, Sarge.
Hey, how you doing? Good, good, good. Hey, look, I was hearing this talk about carbon. And now my understanding is, according to people who specialize in this sort of thing, is that carbon dioxide makes up roughly 0.04% of the atmosphere. And of that 0.04% of the atmosphere, human beings have contributed between 3% at a low end and 9% at a high end of the 0.04% of the atmosphere that is CO2. And for this, in order to get those numbers down, we have to commit national economic suicide. Would someone please explain to me the logic of this? They say it's a tipping point. So a little tiny bit that human beings contribute is a tipping point that will push the environment over the edge.
You're right. It's 412 parts per million carbon dioxide is.
Right.
Well,
so I'm trying to understand
why
is our committing economic suicide going to prevent this global catastrophe? Would someone please explain that to me?
That's because your politicians don't know jack.
Can we say that this anthropogenic global warming, and climate is changing because it always does, and we can go back through the life cycles of the Earth's histories. You got names for them. You know, the Jurassic Age, the Pleistocene Age, the Mesozoic Age. We got names for these ages, and the climate was different at all. There weren't even any human beings around. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, this hair on fire, run around in circles, scream and shout, the sky is falling.
And they have asteroid hits, too, by the way.
Solar flares. So, Pianchi regularly points out the sun is expanding by millimeters every few centuries. That means that does affect the temperature of the Earth. There's nothing we can do about that because the sun is going nova like all stars do. They expand, and they eventually take their universe with them when they detonate or whatever they do.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I mean, this is crazy. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. I think the fanatical environmental leftist outfit, I'm completely in accord with the pollution stuff. Now, you got me. They got me completely in their camp. Those who talk about ending pollution are quite correct to do so. Chemical contamination, got no problem with any of that, provided it's done in a rational and non-destructive way. Got it completely. I'm talking about this climate change stuff, this emission stuff. That's what I think is a hoax and a non.
I think we all do, or at least I do.
I do, too.
You know, we was talking the other day, the atmosphere plays a critical role with life here on Earth. And right now the atmosphere is about, say, 80,000 feet from the ground up. But suppose the atmosphere was only 15 feet. And, Daniel, if you climbed up a stepladder and you was on the top run, what color would the sky be?
Oh, it would be blue.
Nope, it would be black.
Oh, it would.
The atmosphere, the moisture in the atmosphere is what makes you look at what you call blue skies.
Oh, gotcha, the reflection, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, refraction.
So atmosphere is only supposed to be, I see what you're saying, 15 feet, I got you. So past
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everything above 15 feet, just the way it is now, above the outer edges of the atmosphere, is black.
And I don't think there's any way to get around the fact that the biggest single component of greenhouse gases is water vapor. I hope we don't want to get rid of water vapor in the atmosphere, or do we? They want to cause a mass extinction event or something?
No, they want to cause a mass extinction by getting rid of carbon.
Yeah, but it's only 421 parts per million of the atmosphere.
I understand, but if they get rid of it, if they lower it, there's going to be no trees, no vegetation, because they breathe carbon and release oxygen. And who uses oxygen? We do.
This thing is a hoax. This thing is a fraud. It's an attempt to seize power. It's an attempt to enrich people who are going in the climate business. I don't think there's any validity to it at all scientifically. Man-made global warming is a significant factor in climate change. It's nonsense. And I don't need to be an expert to know that.
Just have to use a little common sense and logic.
If we have some if the planet has some major volcanic eruptions and the ash and the sulfur that's going to be spewed into the atmosphere is going to shield out the sun. So there goes your solar charging stations right there.
Exactly.
I remember reading a government study about the eruption in Mount St. Helena in the 1980s. I think it was the mid-1980s. And they said that one natural event released more particulates into the atmosphere than every single internal combustion engine since they were invented to 1985. That one natural event.
Wow.
It was a government study, too.
I believe it. I believe that one.
And that's one of the goofy things that they want to do.
I think this is impelled by an element of religious fanaticism. I think they've changed climate, they've made environmentalism into their new religion, since after all, mankind's got to worship something. There's something in human beings that compel us to worship, to be religious. Probably because we have an innate connection with the Creator God, and we have to worship. But when God is removed from so much of public and private life, as it is being today, we have to replace it with other forms of gods. And now some of those gods are, I don't know, maybe even transgenderism is one of them, but I definitely know for sure environmentalism is one of the new sacraments.
Yeah, you got a point there. Yeah.
One of the things that they want to do for climate change is to dim the sun. And so they want to shoot particulates into the air dim the sun. And I'm like, really? And but the stuff that they're going to shoot into the air is not naturally, you know, they're going to shoot in barium and aluminum and other such things up into the air. And so all that's going
to
do is going to cause a huge drought, and it's going to bring along, it's just going to be a disaster if they do it. And they keep saying, oh, we're looking at doing testing, we're doing computer models, we're doing this, we're doing that, and that's where my conspiracy theory comes in when I see the lines in the sky that don't go away, that they're already doing it.
I sent those to y'all. It looked like a checkerboard here in North Alabama. They were chemtrails. They were putting something in the air about three years ago.
Well, you know, the United States-sponsored activity like that that's affecting the environment, climatic environment, a climatic situation that's going to spread to other parts of the world. Well, what do these countries have to say about that?
No, because what it does is it changes the whole jet stream. You know, if you're clouded over here where normally part of the ocean vaporizes and goes into the air to cause rain over here, and you cloud that over so it doesn't go up on here, it gets sucked up over here and goes over there, and yeah, then you get your larger rain events or you get your larger drought events. We just need to realize that we live in a terrarium and you can't just whack-a-mole with it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. God created it perfectly. And the man is trying to manipulate it and mess with it.
Right.
If they would just leave it alone, it would be just fine.
Well, yeah, if you change the jet stream, then Canadian geese that's flying south, it may take them longer. Or they may head to Florida and end up over in San Francisco. Oh, my God.
Humans have been modifying weather for several years now. Can we all agree on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, China was blatant
about it.
Yeah, but
it's pretty localized. So when we do it, it's not like over a large area. It's like a localized, seeding the clouds or something like that?
Right. Yeah, seeding clouds, exactly.
But it's not widespread. I mean, it's like in a very local area because, I mean, think of the enormous effort it would take to spread enough stuff to significantly affect the climate and make rainfall on a big scale, I mean, a huge scale.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's that many aircraft to do that.
That's a good point.
No, but they have a lot of wildfires that they've started. Think of all the wildfires we had this year. I mean, this year has been unprecedented.
What is going on with the wildfires? Go ahead, Gene.
But I'm just
What's going on?
That is putting stuff up into the atmosphere. Look at the beginning of the summer and all the ash that we had coming down from Canada into the States. You know, I mean, it affected growing vegetation growing, it prevented a lot. It affected a lot of different things.
Yeah, the hospitals were fuller because kids were having asthma attacks and older adults were having asthma attacks. We always kept our people inside on one of the action days. I mean, when there was days that here in Michigan you go outside, you could see it.
Yeah, wildfires is a natural occurrence. Just look at the thickness of the bark
on some trees, especially the redwood. That's what protects them.
That's amazing there.
But yeah, they've got one of the major wildfires, like the Canadian wildfire, going on in Europe right now. And I believe it's in Greece.
So you can't put it out. It's got to grow. It's got to do its natural thing because there is benefits from it.
Yeah. New growth.
Yeah. How many wild forest fires does nature start? Burns down burns down vegetation, and what's left from the residue from the fire creates new growth forest. And human beings aren't even anywhere in sight.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the ratio here? What's the percentage of these forest fires? How many were caused by nature, and how many are caused by arson?
I believe the large majority, and I can't give you the exact number, but the large majority are caused by natural events.
Right.
Now, sometimes they'll say they were enhanced by human beings' failure to apply good forest management techniques. But again, you know, nature provides plants and vegetables that have adapted to the environment, and part of that adaptation of native plants is resistance to fire. The plants that tend to be more resistant to fire and the vegetation more resistant to fire are the ones that tend to be naturally selected for whenever lightning strikes occur. So, I mean, nature has a way of taking care of its own life, both plant and animal.
Yeah.
It's just that when human beings create forests, oftentimes they create forestation that is not native to the terrain and the situation, as we discovered in Hawaii. One of the reasons they believe the fires became as intense as they did, because much of the vegetation was non-native and was not as fire-resistant as the normal vegetation that grows there.
I heard
exactly.
That, too. Yeah. Yep.
Well,
the other
nature's
got a way to take things off.
But the real reason
well aware of the likelihood
the
of forest
fires. Is the diversion of water.
Mother Nature
knows
water
was
you know,
the main problem. They've diverted all the natural streams to the rich farmers and agriculture, disrupting all the streams and stuff by diverting water. And so that left the whole area around Lahaina even drier than it normally would be. So, yeah, they want to blame these, you know, non-native grasses for the fire. But in reality, it's the water allocation preferring, you know, the people in Lahaina were asked, you know, during times of drought and stuff to their water use and stuff all the time, but all the golf courses and big resorts, they didn't have to restrict a fucking drop, you know.
Well, if you look at most disasters, it's a series of cascading events. Yeah, I agree with you that the most important single factor was the failure to allow water to be sent to where it was needed. That was the biggest thing that went wrong. But there were a lot of other contributing factors that made it worse than it otherwise would have been, and it made it more unmanageable. Whenever these things happen, like the same thing happened with those wildfires out there in California, it was a series of what they call cascading events. And usually you don't get a real postmortem on how everything acts. It's like with aircraft accidents. You get a similar chain of events that occur. One little thing leads to a bigger thing, leads to a bigger thing, leads to a bigger thing, leads to the biggest thing. And it's the same thing with the thing in Maui.
Well, you know, in Maui, they could have put the infrastructure in order to take water from the damn ocean to fight fires.
Yeah. Yep. So I think we need to look at the whole causal chain of events to really figure out how we have to minimize these things in the future. again, the biggest single factor is, yes, indeed, put the fire to where the firefighters need it, okay? Don't worry about equitable distribution of water. When there's a fire emergency, everything should take a backseat to that. Then after that, you don't put so many non-invasive plant species in that are not as fire resistant if you're worried about fire. And if you do, have a way to effectively safeguard them and prevent them from bringing the fire any further or spreading it further. There's a whole lot of things you can do, but you got to have an honest appraisal of what happened in order to prevent the cascading series of events and break the chain anywhere along the line, which prevent it from getting worse.
Yeah, and the way Sarge just explained that is the way I think scientists look at a problem right now. They don't look at the whole chain. They look at one thing, and we can do this. And then they don't look at what's going to happen afterwards.
That's exactly right. That's what an honest appraisal what a causal chain of examination tries to do. They try to honestly examine everything that leads to an incident, all the way from its origin, all the way up to its end. And all too often, whenever these disasters happen, or anything bad happens, somebody with an agenda picks the thing that's closest to meeting the needs of their agenda, and they focus on that exclusion of everything else. Classic example, case in point, quote, gun violence, unquote. There you go. And
yeah.
We just saw what his mayor and, governor in New Mexico just did. I mean, she just said that her oath to the Constitution was not absolute. I swear to God, she said that. Her oath to the Constitution was not absolute.
Oh,
and
for crying out loud.
This Lucian Grisham, or whatever the idiot's name is.
Okay, I only read what she did. I didn't read what she said about it.
Oh,
that's the woman that put abortion clinics on the New Mexico-Texas border. So that people coming from Mexico could come there and kill their baby.
Yeah, I'll give you what she said in quotes in just a moment, because I saved them because I could not believe what this woman had the nerve to say out loud in public. I just couldn't believe it. She ought to impeach her immediately. They ought to start immediate impeachment proceedings against her forthwith if that legislature has any guts. Whatever the laws they are, whatever the Constitution says about impeaching a governor in New Mexico, they ought to immediately start taking it into consideration. I mean, immediately. I would never trust another governor who ever said her oath to the Constitution is not absolute.
So, have you heard any backlash? I only heard it happen today. Did it happen Friday?
There's a lot of it. A lot of it's coming out. I don't know if it's going to be effective at affecting her policies or doing something about what she's done, but there's a lot of it out there. I mean, a lot. I mean, Elon Musk said she's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently the sheriff of the county said we're not enforcing this shit, and it's a Democrat.
Listen to what Elon Musk said. Elon Musk said this on X, well, it used to be Twitter, at the risk of stating what should be obvious, deliberately violating the Constitution is next level illegal. How soon can this person be removed from office? Couldn't agree more.
Well, you know, I really do love the way Laurie says stuff.
What they do now?
You said the sheriff said we ain't enforcing this shit.
some of the law enforcement officers.
Well, not so many words, but yeah.
Albuquerque Police Chief Errol Medina said he won't enforce it. Now, this is the police chief in Albuquerque, and Bernalillo County Sheriff John Allen said he has concerns, but he will cooperate. And even Grisham said her edict only applies directly to the state police, of which she has direct control over. However, if I was a state police chief or any state police officer, I said, look, I will not enforce a blatantly unconstitutional law. If you want to fire me for not doing so, go ahead. But if I'm a civil servant and I got civil service protection, I'm going to demand a hearing, and I'm going to say I have simply refused to enforce a blatantly unconstitutional law.
Well, why come people not suing her? I mean, things that we hear go against Donald Trump.
I'm sure they will. I'll bet that they're spending the weekend getting all their paperwork ready.
Yeah, they said resist. Remember, resist was the word they were shouting. The moment he got elected, all you heard was resist, resist.
The district attorney is saying he's not going to, they're not going to enforce it. Also,
it sounds good to me. It sounds about
basically
right.
Basically, everybody's telling New Mexico's governor, you know, dream on, bitch.
See, but here's the thing. Here's why it's so important that we resist this. Because remember, they use COVID as a justification in a lot of these states to invoke unconstitutional, illegal measures under the guise of a national health emergency or under the guise of a health emergency. She's doing the same thing with regard to the Second Amendment. She's saying it's a health emergency, so I'm justified in doing it, just like was done under COVID. That's why this has to be pushed back against immediately, because I can guarantee you there are 22 other states in this union that are probably considering the same thing and are looking to see how successful this biatch is going to be with this one.
How is it, okay, explain to me how she's got the logic that banning open carry of a gun in a city is going to stop gun violence.
She said
the
it
people
wouldn't.
That use...
She was asked a question by a reporter, and she said it would not. She said it. That's what's amazing. This is what I said. Let me read you what she said. She's asked by a reporter, you took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license? Because remember, that's what the state Constitution says. Grisham. With one exception, and that is if there is an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. In this emergency, this 11-year-old, all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not we can create a safe environment. This is this hideous answer.
Well,
this is what you said aloud.
The Constitution has no on-off switch. It's on all the damn time. That woman's a damn fool. And I don't know where we're getting these people from. Is it climate change? Or do we have to, and Donnie, we talked about it one night, we're going to have to revert to the Kathy and Daniel prescription. These people are not even human.
Look, when asked if criminals will stop carrying guns for the next 30 days due to her order, she says, quote, no, period, unquote. I mean, can you believe, I mean, this is a woman is saying this stuff out loud.
She's a damn
the governor.
Fool.
So the idiots that are going to use the gun illegally are still going to carry.
Hell, she's the idiot. She's a bigger idiot than any of them. Why are you?
But the ones that are lawful. Do they think guns are like rabbits or rats, and that they just like over, you know, attack everything and breed and spread everywhere? I mean, what the hell?
Well, this is what I hope happens. I hope people will see the dangers of a petty little tyrant like this woman. I hope they'll take a look at this and say to ourselves, maybe we should create a deterrent to any other governor or any other public official who might think of using the gambit of public health emergencies to curtail constitutional rights and do something about it legislatively or by other actions to make sure they don't even think about it.
That's right. Damn right.
Well, you
we
know,
got
you
a lot
got
of
one problem.
A lot of people in the switchboard would like to join. Push one on your keypad. Go ahead, Sarge.
You got one problem there, Sarge. You got to look at the population in New Mexico and where they hail from. Blood is thicker than water. They come in with that. They have no respect for the Constitution. They have one where they come from.
Well, all I know is that when you become a citizen in this country, whether either by naturalization or you're natural born or however you become one, you are obligated to take an oath to defend. Well, if you're naturalized, you sure do take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, or you'll honor and obey it. I know that's part of being naturalized. So no matter what, and I know she took an oath to do the same. She said so when she became governor. She just said it is an absolute. She's acknowledging the fact she swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. Since it is an absolute, she doesn't have to obey it. This is a governor.
Good criminally.
This should really seal her fate. Like, you know, this would be totally grounds for the voters to impeach her, get her the hell out of office. And, you know, this grounds for it. This is blatant, right in your face, you know, going against her own oath, going against her own state laws, you know, and circumventing their own state constitution, all of it. You know, this is the ultimate, you know, failure as a governor.
Well, you know what's next, don't you? You know what's next? The Bible. The commandments.
You know what?
Well, they ain't absolute.
You know what? You might even say she's a threat to our democracy. Gee.
Oh, heavens.
And by the way, you know, she announced this thing on a Friday. So that means that anybody who wants to file a suit again, it's going to have to wait till Monday in order to get the suit started, which many people have already announced their intention to file a lawsuit against this order. She made it for 30 days, so by the time it starts getting to the court and get a court hearing, it'll be over, and she'll be able to say, well, everything is moot because it's over now, and you got nothing to bitch about. So I think what she wanted to do was to virtue signal, say, see what I'm doing to try to stop gun violence, and then claim that now she's immune to any consequences from having issued a blatantly illegal and unconstitutional order. This is despicable.
Oh, I guess the next step would be for New Mexico's legislature to modify their laws so that, you know, guess what? You know, you're not going to be allowed to use emergency powers this arbitrarily and this unconstitutionally. It's going to be up to their legislators to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and people got to put the pressure on them to do it.
Amen. That's what I'm hoping will happen. I'm hoping. I'm going to got my fingers crossed, because I just don't know. We got so many cowardly legislators today. It's almost impossible to get them to do the right thing on principle, but that's what ought to be done, Lori. That's for sure. We'll see.
And then they'll whine and cry, you shouldn't be able to stop me from doing what I need to do as governor in an emergency.
Yeah, I bet she sounded just like that. I'll bet you she did. Think of the children. And she's also a big abortion proponent, by the way. But she'll tell us that we have to think of the children and be completely unself-aware as she says it.
If you noticed in China, that's their big thing, is because people go into the schools or they target kids. In China, and you've only heard about a few of them, but that's the big thing, is some guy will go crazy and he'll go in to an elementary class with a knife and just start hacking up kids. So taking guns away isn't going to take away the evil that's out there to harm the young ones for some reason.
They will find a way.
Yeah, not guns, then they'll make their own, you know, Molotov cocktail bombs and shit, you know.
And see, well, and in England, that's what they do. They do the Molotov cocktails. Kids go, and they're actually young men, so, you know, late teens, early 20s and stuff. They'll go around in groups on those scooters, and they'll either stick a knife out next to them. The guy in the back will be holding the knife and just slash people, or they're going around randomly throwing acid on people.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but outside of 9/11, you know, what the terrorists did on 9/11, I believe the single greatest instance of mass murder in American history, probably in the last two centuries, was a guy who took a 5-gallon can of gasoline, went to the Happy Land nightclub in New York City, set it on fire, and killed 92 people. I think that was the worst example of mass murder I can think of, and if you guys can think of a bigger one, I really can't. Timothy McVeigh. Okay, Timothy McVeigh did that with ammonia and fertilizer.
Yeah.
And aluminum nitrate.
Yeah.
So he didn't even use any gunpowder. Did it with farm stuff you grow crops with.
Somebody was on some acid.
I think this is Joseph, I think.
Yes, hello, how you doing? Hey, Sarge, just for anybody, I put the link in the chat room, Sarge, for that discussion we were having. It's 7 minutes long. The video explains it perfectly, what we were talking about the other night, about the annulment of the states and how, what had happened, why you're not under the Constitution anymore. It's 7 minutes long. You just can't beat that argument, Sarge. You just can't.
I am going to look at it, and I will get back to you. Rest assured.
Okay. Okay.
But I got to see it first, though.
It's in the chat room.
But okay, I got it. I'm copying it, and I'm pasting my browser right now so I can take a look at it.
All right.
And when I look at it, and when you're ready to discuss it, I'll be happy to have that discussion.
Well, I mean, you guys were just talking about constitutional rights, so it's on point, on topic. I mean, it's how your states were stolen from you, and how the nationalization of the federal government and the power of the federal government usurped your states' rights. You know, the states have no more rights anymore. They don't have rights, period. Federal government obviously controls everything. And ever since after the Civil War, they have done this. They've implemented this slowly but surely, and they have total control and dominance right now. So when you're talking constitutional rights, you don't have any. You don't have it.
Well, you know, congressional members of Congress come from districts in the state which are under a state rep or a state senator.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And who are these congressional members now? How were they voted in? When did this happen? When did this all start
in.
And end?
They were voted in, like Cori Bush was voted in, by residents that live in those state districts.
You
so
have not had
effect,
a lawful...
In effect, they control her.
You have not had a lawful constitutional representative voted into office constitutionally since the Reconstruction Acts. You have not had one.
You mean even in the states that weren't subject to Reconstruction, you mean all the states of the Union?
Well, anything that happened after that, how could the other states be constitutionally accepted into the Union? Everything was dissolved of after the Reconstruction. So, therefore, your republic was still there. It's still here. But until it was re-inhabited, you don't have it. What the hell was that?
Oh, Lord.
They're notifying me via the emergency broadcast system that we got to watch out for rain or something.
Oh.
Yeah, but states that wouldn't have nothing to do with the Reconstruction, it didn't affect them, did it?
power?
Well, let Sarge watch that video, I guess, and then he can comment on it, I guess, because all we're doing is going around in circles because it's you're not getting it. You're not understanding. It's kind of like taxes and money. You don't have money. There's no more money. You have Federal Reserve notes, you know, so it's not money.
Yeah.
It's legal tender. Yeah.
Well,
worthless.
Not,
exactly.
Money's no good. Give it to me.
Well,
well,
I'm sure you're not arguing that simply because our economic system is messed up, that doesn't mean we're a constitutional republic anymore. I mean, you wouldn't make that argument, would you?
No, Sarge. That's just one part of it.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
No,
but I'm
going to
take a look at this.
But
the core of your argument is what this gentleman says in his video, right?
I can't hear you. I didn't hear you, Sarge. I'm sorry.
He said, the core of your argument is what this guy says in this video that I have now bookmarked and I've got noted on YouTube.
Yes, that's correct. That is, he explains everything in seven minutes and 24 seconds that really answers everything that you were just talking about and that we've been arguing about over and over. I just don't know any other way to say it. And then I came across that video and I was like, oh, bam, right there. And that's he breaks it down.
Well, yeah. I looked at it real quick. I read the introduction on the page on YouTube, and it certainly looks like an interesting argument. I definitely want to hear it. I'm not going to say I'm going to agree with it, but I definitely want to listen to it.
Can we hear it? Can you send it to Donnie and all of us listen to it?
I've got it.
It's in the chat room.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's in the chat room. You put a link to it in the chat room.
Yeah, it's in the chat room.
Oh. Donnie.
Yeah, can you play it, Donnie?
He's having trouble.
No, I'm having all kinds of trouble playing anything.
If people are willing to listen to it right now and you say it's okay, I can play it and everybody can listen to it right now because I got it pulled up.
Go for it.
Yeah, play it while Johnny's
fumbling around.
I'll hear
I mean, it. Do you want to hear it? Do you want me to do it or what?
Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead,
yes.
Guys.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to do it then. Let me gear it up here.
Is all your right. phone working properly,
okay,
Sarge?
Here we
can
go.
You...
Everybody ready?
Right.
Everybody mute.
Okay.
Our state, the North Carolina American Republic, thanks you for your interest in state citizenship. We're excited to see growing numbers participating in the movement to reestablish and repopulate lawful states. It is important that you first educate yourself as to why and how our original state of North Carolina was reestablished, and it's vital that you understand both who we are and who we are not. In this video, we'll cover the historical and legal background, the consequences of unlawful states, and how you can become a state citizen and be part of the movement to reestablish lawful states. The reestablishing of our original state of North Carolina in 1997 was based upon the position that our state, meaning our constitution and form of government, as well as our people or body politic, was purportedly and unconstitutionally annulled and put into abeyance shortly after the Civil War by a series of legislative acts called the Reconstruction Acts. The Reconstruction Acts eliminated state citizenship and inverted American government, creating a new national indefinite supremacy over all persons and things. Today we see fully nationalized states, all comprised of a nationalized, homogeneous citizenry, whose protections and benefits, however defined, are determined at the national level and not strictly at the state level as they once were. The end game of Reconstruction was to compel the nationalization of citizenship through the 14th Amendment. As opposed to a readmission of the original states back into the Union, as many are taught, Reconstruction disenfranchised original state citizens and created new states for a nationalized citizenry. A new state of North Carolina entered the Union during this time, even though our original state was still in lawful operation. Today, we're overwhelmed by branch consequences that stem from this root of nationalized citizenship and federally created states. Firstly is the case of state sovereignty. States prior to the 1860s decided for their own political bodies where they stood on divisive and moral issues, and most at this time did stand on a religious foundation. Today, nationalized citizenship eliminates the liberty of states to choose their own destiny. For example, Roe v. Wade universally legalized abortion across the United States in 1973 based upon the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Stone v. Graham held that the display of the Ten Commandments was unconstitutional thanks to the 14th Amendment. And Abington School District v. Shemp held that school prayer was unconstitutional based upon the 14th Amendment. Another branch is the massive growth in the scale of the federal government. The CIA, FBI, IRS, the Department of Education, the Federal Reserve, Homeland Security, Patriot Act I, Patriot Act II, the Military Commissions Act, the NDAA, the EPA, and the NSA are just a few examples of the increase in the scope of the federal government since the 1860s. With the Civil War and Reconstruction combined, we find at least 15 distinct violations of the Constitution, which resulted in the purported annulment of 10 states of the American Union, including North Carolina, as well as the nationalization of every state, North and South. In 1997, a contingent of individuals living in North Carolina, recognizing that violations of the Constitution create no law, together reestablished or reclaimed the original state of North Carolina, her Constitution, and her system of government. The reestablished state was called the North Carolina American Republic to keep it distinct from the de facto state of North Carolina. The North Carolina American Republic, or NCAR, is composed of state citizens who are loyal to the maintenance and defense of our original lawful state. Our state convenes on a regular basis. It has a body politic, a government body, and a treasury. Citizens of our reestablished du jour state have taken the matter to court in various cases, demanding that the de facto state of North Carolina prove its lawfulness. We highly encourage you to continue your study of the historical, political, and legal background of our reestablished state. This is the legal foundation upon which you will defend your citizenship status. To test your knowledge, we require all interested individuals to fill out and submit the in-depth questionnaire on our website as a prerequisite for obtaining a citizenship packet. By studying the reference materials and resources here on ncrepublic.org, as well as americasremedy.com, future citizens of our du jour state will be well educated on matters regarding the foundation of our state's reestablishment and will better understand who we are and who we are not. Becoming a citizen of the North Carolina American Republic is not a complicated process. However, it's not something to be taken lightly or hurriedly. You should understand that it does require some time as well as patience. Once you have a thorough understanding of how and why the NCAR was reestablished, you'll need to complete a citizenship questionnaire. You'll find a link to the questionnaire under Step 1 listed on our website in the citizenship area. Once you've completed your citizenship questionnaire, an NCAR citizenship coordinator will contact you to schedule a phone conference to discuss the responses that you provided. Your next step will be to attend an NCAR meeting. Officers and citizens of NCAR convene regularly. You can check our calendar for the next opportunity to attend a meeting. At this meeting, you'll receive a citizenship packet. Your packet will contain all paperwork to initialize your state citizenship, including an affidavit of citizenship and domicile, oaths of allegiance, and voter registration cancellation requests, along with other useful resources. Please also be prepared to provide a proof of identity. Your final step will be to submit citizenship paperwork and pay taxes. After you thoroughly review your citizenship packet documents, bring your citizenship paperwork to an NCAR meeting. There, your paperwork will be signed, witnessed, and officially sealed. Your taxes and processing fees will also be due at the time your affidavit is submitted. Please check our website for details. Once you have reclaimed state citizenship, we encourage you to be an active and regular participant in state meetings, voting, and elections of our state, and in the ongoing defense of our fellow state citizens. Welcome to the North Carolina American Republic.
Okay, I get the gist of it there now, Joe.
All right, very good.
Is that talking about the corporation?
Now, Joe, I want you to understand that I don't think this is quite enough for me. But I do am pointing in the right direction. They got some other links to the website. I'm going to take a look at that, too. And I'm going to look at it as thoroughly as I can look at it. But
yeah, because it's in all 50 states, by the way. So it's in all 50 states.
Right.
It's just not, that was just happened
right.
to be North Carolina, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm
going to
check it out, too.
This is what's going to pain me to say what I'm about to say. I don't disagree with most of what was said in this video. The ratification of the 14th Amendment has led to many things that are problematic constitutionally. I'm not even going to argue that. This video is correct, and you, Joe, are correct in your observations of it. The fact of the matter is, yes, it did invert the order of citizenship, as the video correctly points out. You were citizens of the United States before the adoption of the 14th Amendment by virtue of your acceptance by any of the states as a state citizen, and by virtue of that, you were then considered a citizen of the United States. That's absolutely true. I can't find any fault with any of the factual stuff, nor with the problems that have been engendered with its ratification. Here's the problem, though, Joe. Whether it was ratified properly or not, it's a part of the Constitution. Just like the 18th Amendment was. The 18th Amendment was part of the Constitution, too, and look at all the problems it caused.
I know, but how could you do that? How could you just say it is when it wasn't properly ratified or it was not put before the people?
That's the thing, Joe. Like this video points out, that's going to have to be revisited by the courts, and they've all but made that impossible to do other than repealing it by another amendment like they did the 18th Amendment.
That's up to Congress.
Exactly.
Right now,
we're just acting. So my argument, Sarge, is this. We're just acting right now. We're acting on an unlawful citizenship that we're claiming to have. When we say my constitutional rights, no. How to who? Who are we crying to? Well, a de facto corporation that doesn't exist, but that's de facto. It's not
right.
de jure. You know?
Yeah, but how does that get remedied given the kind of obstacles they put in the way of revisiting it? See, what you're saying, this is going to be revisited. Or it could be done away with, again, with a three-fourths ratification by the states to repeal the 14th Amendment. Can you imagine the gutless politicians that won't even address that? Are you kidding?
I understand that. I get that.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to get you to do. I'm not even taking exception with the most important things that this video said. I am not. I am mostly in agreement. I'm saying in order to get rid of this and revisit it, man, the obstacles against that are enormous. I'm not saying it's impossible.
That's why we're in a battle the way we are right now. We're in a fight for our lives.
That's right.
Hang on for a second, Torres. The 13th Amendment wasn't properly ratified either.
Same argument would go there, although I don't think that's caused as much mischief as has the 14th Amendment. The 13th Amendment was a pretty straightforward proposition. It just ended chattel slavery and allowed the states to impose slavery if you've been duly convicted of a crime. So I don't think that's that problematic.
Needed,
the 14th Amendment is.
It still needed three-quarters of the states at the time to approve it. It didn't have three-quarters of the states. You can't say
that you can't use the argument on the 14th and not apply it to the 13th, too. Well, I can guarantee you they will not revisit that except maybe to end the slavery part if you've been duly convicted of a crime. They might amend the Constitution and get rid of that provision. But the other part of it, no, that's going to be left intact. But the 14th Amendment is definitely problematic, though.
Well, look. If the 14th is problematic, the 13th is problematic.
Not as an effect in its ratification, yes, but not in its effect. The 14th Amendment was problematic both in its ratification and in its effect.
The effect is that people aren't complaining about it. They're going along with it. You're going along on
exactly.
You're going along on some superficial stuff.
Exactly. We're living a lie.
People are complaining about the 14th Amendment. Oh, that's what this video is all about. People are very upset now that they realize what the 14th Amendment has led to, this notion of substantive due process.
Well, that's down the line then. The first one was about the citizenship on account of the Dred Scott decision.
And the fact that the Confederate states said they were not going to allow their citizens to be, newly freed slaves to be citizens with a national national amendment to the Constitution. They said they wanted to have the option to decide who was going to be a citizen in their states. And that's why they forced them to adopt it at gunpoint, a bayonet point.
Yeah, but that wasn't the main issue, though. You know, because we all know slavery was wrong, and of course most of the country right now obviously would say, hey, you know.
It might have been wrong, but it wasn't illegal. That's another thing. We keep convoluting wrong and legality.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it was.
Yeah.
It violates the human rights. It violates your human rights, and the Constitution guarantees.
There was no human rights declarations at that time. If it was violating human rights, wait a minute, where they came from, which had been in civilization society much, much longer than any other place on earth, they had no problem.
Are you a man? Are you a man or a woman? Yeah, all men are created equal. All men. You're a man, right? All men are created equal.
That's if you agree to that doctrine. Where they came from, it was not illegal.
Remember, the Constitution forbids adopting ex post facto law. So that's also in the Constitution. We can't apply human rights violations that did not exist in 1860 because they're illegal today.
So, again, what's the answer, Sarge, that you come up with then? What's the conclusion to fix this? We can't win.
You just talk about constitutionally. Again, remember I talked, we had this argument about constitutionality and what is necessary to do? There's a big difference. We acknowledge the fact there's a big, but if we're going to talk about a constitutional remedy, the only one I can see is to revisit the issue of the 14th Amendment and either end it, either amend it, or repeal it.
Congress has to do that. This already had hit a court or two, and the court said that's up to Congress. Courts don't make laws. That's up
exactly.
to the Congress.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah,
if people not
we should either send an amendment to the states. We can do it through the convention of states. We can do it with the Houses of Congress sending an amendment out to the states for ratification. But this is a tall mountain to climb because all the emotional baggage that's attached to it. Let's face it, Joe. The emotional baggage attached to this matter will be probably the most immense of any amendment in the history of the United States.
I agree. But are we going to get emotional, or are we all going to let ourselves be usurped into a new world order?
With the feminization of society, I'm afraid we're going to get emotional, yes. We got a feminized society today, and we can't ignore that like it's not going to matter.
Kind of like
how
the founders.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm getting ready to pack my goddamn bag because I know I'm going to be put back in slavery.
You should. But look, I understand their argument, and I am not dismissing their argument. Believe me, I'm sympathetic to most of it. I'm simply saying, man, this thing, 14th Amendment is part of the Constitution. However it got there, it's there, big and shit. And the Supreme Court has already ruled on it a couple times. They've adopted this notion of substantive due process as a result of it. They practically created birthright citizenship out of thin air based on a footnote in another Supreme Court decision. So we're stuck with this damn thing. We got Wong Kim Mark came out of it. Minor versus Happersett came out of it. All kind of Supreme Court decisions that still impact on jurisprudence today. Man, are you kidding?
We've got to fix it.
I just think about remedy for it. And like I said, you know what the ultimate remedy is? Because when the ultimate remedy comes down, the laws don't matter much. It's what you make out of the wake of what is the ultimate remedy. But I'm saying as long as we got a constitution. This is what we're
Joe,
kind of stuck
you,
with.
Joe, did you read the email that SARS sent you? One of those proposals is saying that states have a right to nullify court decisions.
No, but I did get a text message telling me that I have to be someplace on September 16th.
Read that email he sent you with those convention of state proposals, about 90 of them.
Yeah, convention of state's position, because it's in there. That's in there, too.
You read it? Okay, but I'm just saying, you know, that convention of state system, I guess they got something going on down here in North Carolina where I volunteered, so they're telling me I got to be there.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, good. You'll be able to you'll be there hearing those arguments right there in person.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, but before
get as much literature out of the thing as you can.
Yeah, read the email, please.
All right.
And I'll post it again in the chat room, too, just in case you need it. I'll post it right now.
No, I got it.
Okay. Well, but I'm just saying, though, Joe, I understand I'm going to research this a little bit more, and I'm sympathetic to these arguments, but I'm just telling you, man, the 14th Amendment is your obstacle. It's in the Constitution. It was ratified, even if it was improper ratification. It was ratified. It's been accepted. It's been acted upon.
Well, how could you?
Since
listen to what you just said. It was ratified, but it was improperly ratified. That's just like saying my roof is leaking, but it's not. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
How do we undo it, Joe? How do we undo it? Well, you heard what my suggestions were.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Give me another suggestion how to undo it.
You can't say it was ratified when it wasn't ratified.
Exactly.
Well, give me another way to get rid of it other than the ones I suggested. I'm open to suggestions other than revolution.
It's going to be up to Congress to ratify it, or you have a convention to appeal it.
Well, we need the military.
I don't know why you wouldn't give it that much attention. If it wasn't properly ratified, why give it that much attention?
Because I think when they adopted it as part of the ratification, they removed it from the purview of the Supreme Court. I think that was
they
part of the ratification.
They changed they changed the words around person and citizen, too.
Yeah, they did.
Hell, Mississippi didn't ratify it until 1995.
Yeah,
just for,
because it is three-fourths of the states at the time three-fourths of the states during the rump ratification did. And then when they allowed the Confederacy to have seats back in Congress, voting seats back in Congress, they said, we're not going to let you vote unless you vote to approve this.
I think Kentucky ratified it in 1976. I may be off on my years. You know, anything go down in Mississippi because they try to appease the black population. Mississippi has the largest black population, numerical-wise, than any other state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I'm open to revisit the 14th Amendment. However it can be done, I'm open to it. I think it should be because, like I said, I think a lot of mischief has come out of it. We have a new understanding of racial matters in the country today. I don't think there's anybody of any consequence that's going to deny black people in the United States today full citizenship and all the privileges and immunities of any other citizen in any state. I don't think that would happen today, even if we did revisit the 14th Amendment, and that's why we need to revisit it.
Right.
Well,
correct.
You got black people themselves that say we not citizens. So
yeah, I know those idiots.
It's all the time.
Well, wait a minute. No, they ain't no more idiots than anybody else that says that video pointed out. You got
black.
Yeah,
but they're saying it for another reason, Bianchi. They're saying it for another reason. You know that people like
whatever
Warren
the
and
reason,
the, you know.
Whatever. Wait a minute. Whatever the reason, the gist of the discussion is we are not citizens.
True.
Hell, you got some of them that say they're Nuwabians. I mean, that's up to them.
True.
I forgot. That question came up. That question came up back in 2008, I remember, and I forgot how they handled that question. But it's not what you're saying is wrong. I forgot how they handled that. I forget.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting video, though. I mean, I'm going to look into it a little bit more and see what they're trying to do. But I think I understand the argument now. But like I said, with the 14th Amendment sitting there like a massive boulder in the roadway, I don't know how we get around it without some significant action. It's going to cause a huge bunch of turmoil in the country, probably three, four times as big as Roe versus Wade caused. Or revisiting Roe versus Wade. And that's not even a constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
That was just a Supreme Court decision.
Roe versus Wade, you got a bunch of people that don't want to obey the law. That's what it is. They don't want to obey the law.
No doubt. No doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever.
And they're a bunch of dumbasses.
Well, Sarge, you said, you know, all this has happened since, but again, it's kind of contradictory because you said it yourself. An unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It doesn't exist. Everything after that, after anything that happened after the unconstitutional act.
I understand. Well, yeah, I still stand by that statement. But again, the point I'm trying to make, though, is how is it effectuated, the defiance to this unconstitutional provision, law, or act? How do you effectuate resistance to it? How do you do it? You say that I'm just not going to obey anything about it, then of course you're going to have to go through the judicial system, or you're going to have to engage in some sort of insurrection or rebellion.
I know.
Ultimately, what do you do to get around this when all of these parties refuse to recognize the unconstitutionality and illegality of the act? It's even worse than the civil rights movement they had to face during the South in the 60s when they defied the 14th Amendment and instituted Jim Crow laws.
Well, you know, the 14th
Amendment, the 14th Amendment is part of the Constitution. This anti-segregation law is based upon the 14th Amendment. We don't have to obey them because they're a violation of state sovereignty. States' rights, they should have said state sovereignty, because states don't have rights, they have powers. I don't like using the word rights in terms of government, because people have rights, states have powers. And they're saying it was a violation of state sovereignty and state power in order to use these civil rights laws based on the 14th Amendment. Well, that argument did not prevail, as we can see today.
The 14th Amendment gives procedure. The 14th Amendment gives procedural due process. What is it? The 5th Amendment gives sustainable due process. Otherwise, in other words, if the government feel that they need this land where your house is sitting on, then they have to give you sustainable due process, give you what their property is worth. 14th Amendment allows you to exhaust all the procedures that you can use in order to sell something. And I tell you, if you were to put the argument out there that the 14th Amendment was not properly ratified, those who lost on those procedural arguments would be some happy campers. That would be the basis of your movement.
Well, how about suggesting to them they start that movement, Joe, that maybe they ought to start making some sort of formal procedures to address the improper, unconstitutional ratification of the 14th Amendment, which, again, they removed from review by the courts as part of the ratification.
And it was flawed. It was really flawed because it came about when Justice Taney ruled what he said. Then they said that anyone born here, well, you can't go back 50 years and apply it to somebody that was born 50 years ago. You can't go back in history. So all those people that were living during the time that it came into effect, they had to die out, which they did. I don't think there's anybody living today during the time. They died out.
No. But if you look at the plain text of it, though, that exists, the plain text of the amendment says all persons born in or naturalized and subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That's right. It's a conditional statement. Not only must you be born in the United States, you also must be subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States, not just the circumstantial jurisdiction by being in a country, say, illegally. That is the circumstantial jurisdiction of the United States. I'm talking about complete in terms of allegiance and everything else. That's what they meant by subject to the jurisdiction of. So if you're in a country and you're subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and you're born in the United States, the 14th Amendment says you are then a citizen of the United States. That's in the plain text.
Slaves were not subject to the United States because you had a back to Africa movement in the late 1700s and in the early 1800s. So they didn't think they were citizens.
No, they weren't citizens mainly because the states, most of the states, wouldn't make loan allowing them to be citizens. It's the main reason.
Well, no, it was the fact that people, no matter where they were, you could have been in New York. If they think they weren't a citizen, they wanted to go to Sierra Leone. Well, they came down and got on Paul Kofi's boat and went to Sierra Leone.
Oh, well, I can guarantee you now, if any state at that time, I'm talking about pre-14th Amendment, if any state of the Union under its law said you were a citizen of the United States, then no matter what the individual might have said, that state's going to say you are subject to all the duties and obligations of any other citizen.
Well, this is what the 14th Amendment was, an injection of despotism.
That's why President Monroe made Monrovia over in Liberia. Liberia is
those people could voluntarily repatriate themselves back to Liberia. It was simply an option that was given black people in the country. They would be voluntarily repatriated at the expense of the United States back to Africa. But nobody was involuntarily.
They said that they weren't. They bought in that they were not citizens. Matter of fact, in Liberia's constitution, the only person that can be a citizen of Liberia is the Negro. Read it.
Yeah.
That's what
it
says.
I'll tell you this. If those same people who went back to Liberia prior to their going back to Liberia, if they failed to pay any taxes or duties that they owed in any of those states and the states caught up to them, they would have faced whatever sanctions anybody would have to face in that state. Because as far as a state they were in, they were citizens of the state or whatever they were, and they would have to fulfill all the duties and obligations of every other citizen.
Well, there was no income tax then, right?
But there was excise taxes and there were duty taxes
and
stuff
but
like
no
that.
States,
there
were no state shortage of people. There were no state shortage of those people, no money.
But, you know, but I mean, I get your point, but I'm just saying that, the thing with Liberia was it was mainly an option that the United States government wanted to give newly freed slaves or freed slaves. Well, obviously they had to be freed because, you know, masters weren't going to let them go. But if they want to go back to Africa, they had the, what do they call it, the African Colonization Society? Is that what they call it? ACS, that was the name, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what one idea was. But you had
right.
I know of two distinct back to Africa movements. And the funny thing about it,
right,
those people died off after they got there because they couldn't sustain themselves with the diseases. They had been away from it so long.
Yeah,
but
one thing about citizenship and sovereignty, man, I don't care what state you're talking about. Almost every single one of them is real serious about who is a citizen of their country. I mean, remember, when we got our troops overseas, we have to negotiate a status of forces agreement with the host country. And one of those host agreements that we make every time we make a status of forces agreement is that if a natural-born American citizens now who are serving overseas on a base leased from a foreign power for use by the United States, if your child is born on that leased property, leased in the military base of the United States where the American flag flies, you have to report your child's birth to your consulate or your embassy. So your consulate or your embassy reports back to the nation you are in that child will not be considered a citizen of their country, because if you don't, that country is going to claim your child as a citizen. That's how serious countries are about citizenship.
Except for the United States, we're not serious anymore.
We're not as serious as most of them are now, but they're serious.
You got people that's here in this country illegally from Venezuela, Nicaragua, Honduras, Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they have problems, they go to the embassy of the country that they came from. They don't go to the U.S. embassy. They go to the Nicaraguan embassy, the Honduras embassy.
What?
That's where they seek their refuge.
I know. And that's what gets me about people say that when you're born on a military base, you're born on U.S. soil. That is not true. That's no more American soil than it's your home when you sign a lease from a landlord. It's the same thing in principle.
Right.
So when a child is born overseas, as far as that country is concerned, that child is a citizen of that country unless, under the agreement, the treaty we got with that country for our troops to be over there, either the consulate, the embassy, the armed forces, whatever the requirement is, unless they report it to the consulate and the consulate reports it to the host country, that country will claim your child as one of their citizens.
And that's why I come in the Constitution, it lists that treaties are supreme.
Yep.
Exactly. So, I mean, we got to understand it. Because that treaty, by the way, is in furtherance of the Constitution, because we cannot ignore another nation's sovereignty when our people are their guests on that soil. That's part of international law.
Well, I tell you what, I know for sure in Ghana, West Africa, you can have a baby born by an American female. They ain't going to claim that baby. They ain't going to take that baby to the... And it has happened, by the way, because it was a child that was wandering around. And they could, you know, you can tell a child is not from the whole country because African-Black Americans look different than them. And that child was given up to the embassy. I don't know what happened to the mama.
Huh.
Well, you know, I mean, we got a lot of people with a lot of misperceptions, especially about the Constitution and a lot of other things. And I swear to God, I wish to God it could get cleared up so we could get back to a more to a better constitutional understanding. And, you know, we could get rid of people like Lucian Grisham, who just arbitrarily decides to make up her own Constitution and her own laws because she thinks she's morally justified getting on a goddamn moral high horse to do such things. We're getting more and more people in government who think this way, and we better head it off at the pass before it gets any worse.
Well, we're in trouble, man.
Like Joseph said,
been in trouble for a while. Like you said,
right
I think
now.
A lot, but you're get right about one thing, Joe. A lot of this mischief started in earnest after the war between the states. There ain't no doubt about that. That's true. But at least one thing about the war between the states. At least after the war between the states. The federal government, which had massively expanded because of the war between the states, actually shrank back to somewhat what it was before the war between the states. It didn't start to get big again until after World War One.
Those states were their own country. They had a right to leave the U.S. They voted to do so, just like they voted to get to be a part of.
That's right, they did.
That's what the people. That's what the Republic of Texas done. They voted to be a part of the U.S. They didn't want to be a part of Mexico.
Yeah. Every state that seceded from the Union seceded through an act of its legislature, every single one.
Yep. And really, that forcement of forcing them back into the United States was ridiculous. Under those the terms that they were placed under, it was totally ridiculous. That ain't what I want to call
remember.
It.
Remember, Abraham Lincoln never argued that they left the Union. He said they were in rebellion. They, according to Lincoln, as far as he was concerned, they never left the Union. They were simply states committing rebellion, and that was that's why he never asked Congress for a declaration of war against the Confederacy.
You gave me an idea. If they left the Union because they by a democratic process chose to do so. So they couldn't have been in rebellion. And thus by this ignorant argument on Trump where they're saying rebellion, it does not apply because there never was a rebellion. They left on their own.
You're right. I agree with you completely. They did leave the Union, I think, constitutionally because nothing in the Constitution forbids a state to secede. There's not a word in the Constitution that forbids any state to leave the Union. Not one. Now, you can imply that there might not be. But I defy you to show me where in the Constitution there is an explicit forbidding to secede if a state secedes through lawful actions of its legislature and its executive.
It's left
and
up to the states.
And those states then were not in a rebellion they left. A rebellion is when you part up and you're not acting right. You're acting crazy. You want to overthrow. No,
yeah.
They left. They said, adios. It's just like a divorce.
I know. But here's the thing, though, Bianchi. Remember, Lincoln did not invade the southern states immediately. He used as his pretext firing on Fort Sumter when the Union forces refused to leave Fort Sumter on demand of the Confederacy. That's what he used as his excuse to start the invasion of the southern states.
He did not make that move
until they shot at Fort Sumter. That is critical to understand, too.
Then he called for 75,000 troops. Yep.
That's right.
And then that's when the rest.
So we got to keep all this chronology and this history in context to understand what was done and why Lincoln knew he was treading on shaky constitutional ground when he decided to do what he did with the Confederacy. He knew it. That's why he would not recognize the Confederacy as a sovereign state. They never would.
He
refused to.
He said that his actions was not about freeing any slaves. It was about trying to save the Union.
That's right.
That's exactly
what he said.
A thousand times.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily arguing here for the right or wrongness of his actions, although I'd be perfectly happy to. I'm just simply saying what he said and what the record shows.
Mm-hmm.
The record shows that he specifically said he was not fighting the war to end slavery. He was fighting the war because he had no constitutional authority in slavery. That's the main reason he didn't do it. He understood that. He just couldn't say, I decree that slavery is ended. He could
right.
do it, though, when his armies occupied Confederate territory and seized the slaves as contraband and then said that this as an act, as a military action to deprive the southern states of the use of their contraband slaves, I hereby order them freed.
He didn't try to say he had the authority
right. constitutionally to end.
No,
that was a military action that he ordered his generals to take.
Sarge, that's why we've been
Hang
under a National
a
Emergency Act.
He has no power. He had no power to free any slaves in states that had left. It's just like you claiming your wife's panties after she done divorced your ass. You can't do that.
Exactly. He specifically was saying he knew it. That's why he asked for the 13th Amendment, because he didn't have any authority to free the slaves in the Union states that had slavery.
So how in the heck you gonna say that somebody that done left you, that they are in rebellion? Then you're going to pick and choose and try to use that against Trump today. It's all a bunch of bull crap.
It's crazy,
man. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yes.
It is a bunch of bullshit. That's where I've never seen more bullshit dressed up as constitutional legalism. Oh, but you're not a lawyer, son. Oh, fuck these people. I'm getting sick of these high priests telling us we can't figure out basic facts of Constitution and law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we people as sovereign people, human beings, just don't have any. You know, these people they corporatized everything. We're subject class citizens. We have
that's
no,
right.
you know, and they, you know, it's crazy.
Those states that seceded are their own country. Always have been, even today, they're their own country. They just generalized the term state. Just it sounds good, I guess, but they were their own country. Now, let's ask this. Suppose Mexico brings up a claim similar and says the people that was part of Mexico in Texas, and they left and went with the United States, so what can they claim that they wanted to?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Bianchi, I think a lot of people today actually view the sovereign state, sovereign in most things, not all things, but most things they are sovereign in. Most people today view the states as just constituents of the federal government. They really do. They think the United States is supreme over the states. They really believe it.
Those African slaves' domicile was where they came from. That was the area that had jurisdiction over them. Of course, they stayed here a long time. Just like illegal here, their domicile, well, we just gave an example. Their domicile is the country they came from. That's why come they run to their own country's embassy there in Washington, D.C., on Embassy Row.
Yeah, but you remember, though, the controversy of COVID and the federal recommendations by Dr. Fauci and the CDC, and they were saying, well, we can't order the states to do anything, but we can recommend it. And what did that recommendation come with? A veiled threat to withhold federal funds if they didn't adopt the mandates. That's what they were, in effect, if they didn't adopt the mandates from the CDC and the federal government.
Well, that's right. But you know, and I've said this many times, you can't withhold something from me that I don't give you. States don't have to give the federal government any money. They say, go to hell. They give you nothing.
Well, you try electing a governor or a legislature that's going to do that these days. They all want to feed
now,
the federal
that's the problem.
Trouble.
That's the problem right there. You got a bunch of candy asses that's in your government.
And they want to feed it the federal trough, man. They want that federal money.
Hell, they did that at the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. I don't know how many states said that we weren't going to do that. Hey, Alabama, Daniel, Alabama, did y'all create that black voting district?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. When?
Recently. Didn't the court say that you need to create a separate black voting district? And then your governor say we ain't going to do it?
Yeah, somebody was wanting to. I'm not sure who was wanting to. Yeah. Yeah. Just for, like, you're talking about for, a representative or something, right?
Well, blacks say that they need to have two districts.
They've already got one.
And, you know, that shit don't make no sense. You mean to tell them can't no white folks live in the district?
Well, it said initially, but Bianchi, it says we do not now nor have we ever consented to the transfer of slaves from private to government peonage under the guise of the 14th Amendment privilege of subject class citizenship, nor to the wholesale substitution of such status throughout society in place of the superior status of being a member of the sovereign people as existed under law from the 1787 through 1861. We do not now nor have we ever consented to exchange any of the immutable divine rights for revocable government privileges disguised as civil rights or other artifices of the legal system, franchise, civil law being derived from the Roman justetum, meaning the law of the conqueror as imposed in the free American republics by the compelled armistice signed by the Appomattox of Courthouse in 1865. So they addressed all that in these documents.
Sarge, when did this United States come into be? What year?
1787.
1776,
July 4th. No, 1787.
1787, when the Constitution was
put
in place.
No, the United States came into being July 4th. So the adoption of the Constitution was in 1789. It was ratified.
All right. So where do these people come up talking about they've been in slavery for 400 damn years? What kind of time machine has they got?
They made it up. It's that simple.
And then, too, and I'm going to ask you, Gibson, because you know I'm not slight of tongue. Why in the hell do white folks go with that shit?
With what? With
I
what?
Don't know. They're guilty. I told you, man, they love to manipulate guilt. This is what they do. A lot of white people feel guilty for shit they have nothing to do with. And
go with what? I didn't hear the question.
Is to feel guilt for wrongdoing. And if you see, what these people have managed to do is to successfully, in many white people's minds, transfer responsibility for guilt from people who lived in the 18th and 19th centuries to people living today. It's the most astonishing sleight of hand, psychologically, I think I've ever seen.
They're scared of being called a racist.
Yeah, how many times I got to play it?
Because
they claim they like to throw that 400-year suppression and everything else, but it's not possible. Yeah, the country is not that old. 1789
you know why,
is no damn
you know why,
400
Bianchi?
Years.
Because
1865?
400 years sounds worse than 89 years, okay? See, 400 years is a greater sin than 89. 89 is one long lifetime. 89 years. 400 years, though, now you're talking real generations. More guilt. You can have more guilt than people that way. Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you guys think would have happened with the Confederacy had they not fired on Fort Sumter? What do you think would happen? I'm just curious what you guys might think.
I don't know.
How would events have ensued had the rebels, or as Lincoln put it, had the rebels not fired on Fort Sumter? What do you think might have happened? with no overt hostility started by the Confederacy.
How do we know they actually did? Maybe it was, you know, the Rothschilds and the
bankers.
No,
I think it's well established that they did. But they did it in result of the provocations of the Union, because the Union insisted on resupplying those troops after the state of South Carolina told them to get out.
The Rothschilds were
Joe. As a historical matter, the shots were fired by the Confederacy. I don't have any doubt about that.
It was in action
to a provocation by the Union to keep them there after they had been ordered out by the Confederate government.
The Rothschilds might have been, but the Iroquois Indians were. You had African kings bringing their slaves over to cultivate rice there in the Carolina someplace. So you had a lot of people involved in that stuff. Had black, well, we already know you had black.
I'm curious to know, though, what do you guys think would have, how would the course of events ensued had there not been a firing at Fort Sumter? What would have happened? What do you think? Because everybody was not sure whether it was constitutional or legal to secede from the Union. That's why there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm for fighting the Confederacy.
Okay,
said, let
them
go if they
want to
go. So what do you think might have happened? What would have happened?
The Union would have moved their navy. Go ahead, Joe.
No, you go ahead. Go first. I want to hear what you guys say.
I was just going to say, I think the Union would have tried to, because the South was still exporting a lot of cotton, they would have tried a blockade before they shot any bullet, you know, on the mainland itself, and the ships and southern seas would have caused the war regardless.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Now, I agree. I agree, because if you look at the tension, Sarge, between – even go back to Andrew Jackson when they had the tensions down in the South between, you know, mm-hmm. between the North and South. So it was bound inevitable to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying the war wouldn't have been inevitable at some point, because after all, you would have had two nations in close proximity to each other arguing about borders. But I'm just wondering, how do you think that might have occurred? Now, the gentleman, he just offered the probability of a Union blockade, which in effect did happen. You know, the Anaconda strategy is what actually occurred. But what other scenarios might have ensued?
Well, you know, you had Russians blockade British ships from supplying the Union.
Excuse me for
what
a moment.
What if they would have gotten England to intervene on the side of the Confederacy? Because after all, they came fairly close to getting them to come in on their side.
Well, Lori Ann.
Yeah, until they arrested a few of them.
Yeah. Lori Ann. Tell us about your show and Joseph's show and You're co-hosting about 15 shows, so.
Do I need to hang up and call back
I'm
in?
I'm only co-hosting for one, but tomorrow night, definitely tune in. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Tune in for Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann tomorrow night. I am going to be focusing on 9/11 truth, which should be no surprise to those that know me. So 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be all about 9/11 truth.
Word.
Uh-oh.
Donnie, what time was your show scheduled to go? It's after 4 after 10, so if I call off, if I hang up, I can't call back in, can I?
No.
Nope. We're officially into overtime.
We've got a lot of people in the switchboard, a lot of people, so push one if you want to join the conversation, folks.
Donnie, what do you think about that Alabama game?
I don't even know what happened.
Who did they play?
Michigan? Texas got them 34-24.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Again, Texas gave them a hell of a run last year, too.
Hey, Texas ranked 12th, man. They ain't no joke.
Yeah, Michigan won.
Who did Colorado play?
Oh, who did they play?
They didn't play today, did they?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they played today. I'll look it up,
Donnie.
All right. Robert's in the chat room. He got a show on Friday night. Isn't that with you, Lorianne?
Yes, it is. I co-host Robert's show, Conservative Nation Radio, Friday night. Same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, or no, actually, he sets it up, well, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And, yeah, we had a great show on Friday. We're going to have another great show this coming Friday, starting debates about the Constitution, starting with Article 1. He already has the episode set up, so it should be a good show this coming Friday as well.
All right.
I got a good song for you to play tomorrow night, 9/11's Inside Job there, if you want to play it.
Oh, did you put it in the chat?
No, I'll send it to you on Facebook.
Hey,
I'm getting a lot of feedback all of a sudden, like there's dual microphones going on or something.
I hear
you.
I got an echo going on there with another microphone or something.
Colorado stomped Nebraska today, just to let y'all know, whoever was wanting to know.
What was the score?
It was 30-something to 16. Yeah, Deion's 2-0 now.
Deion.
I mean, they stomped. Let me look at the score. I mean, it was awful.
Awful, huh? Awful.
It was awful.
Gotta be bad.
And of course the dog is barking. Oh my God, the neighbors, they came out of their own house. Oh my God.
Hey man, you got a good dog there. I mean, he may be a little bit too trigger happy, but at least he makes an alarm.
That's right.
Oh, she sure does, except for when I'm sleeping.
The dog.
When
the
I
dog.
Am sleeping, I all hell could be breaking loose, and that dog will not wake me up.
Oh. My dog, Duke, if I would, he would bark at something, and if I saw it, I go, okay, got it, and he would stop. But if I walked out on that front porch, and it was a Jehovah's Witness person, he was trying to get through that window. He didn't care, and he would be mad at me when I got back in. Every time.
The dog's the same way. He's a very nice temperate dog. Any sound out of the unusual, he alerts.
When Jehovah's Witness came over my house, I turned the sprinklers on.
I have to send these really nice old ladies out, so I have to talk to them.
They don't believe in buying presents.
Colorado 36, Nebraska 14.
Damn. Good.
Are y'all having the same problems with y'all's news? I mean, not news stations. With all the stations that Disney owns, we have Spectrum. Are y'all having that problem?
Yes.
I mean, is that not crazy? What kind of shit, man?
I know.
No.
I called them up and they were like, "Oh, we could refund you $15 on your bill." I said $15. I said, "Well, you know, what if I signed up with my package is $150?" I said, "You're not honoring your contract. You're not honoring your agreement."
That's true. I'm going to do the same thing. Thank you. Yeah. You're right.
You know?
Auburn's on right now. That's my team, and they may lose tonight against California. I don't know, but I can't watch it.
Yeah, you're dead wrong.
I mean, come on.
I know why.
Freaking Disney, man.
Disney.
Yep, Disney.
I mean, what asses.
They said they demanded a lot of money from Spectrum or whatever for their contract, and Spectrum said no, that they're not going to pay it.
Yeah, they it was a significant rate hike.
So you can't blame them.
And Spectrum,
yeah,
is,
they're gonna make
Spectrum
us pay
is
more.
Telling them everybody's cutting cords. We can't, you know, we can't keep charging these people extra money. And the biggest problem with Disney is they'll do Disney Plus streaming service, but ESPN is not on any streaming service. So that's
right.
Where I think their little power play is.
Well, let them have it.
Yeah, it's me. That we paid, well, I am my own words, but our taxes paid for the satellites to go up on outer space. You know, why, we should get it for free anyway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Free energy, too. All that shit.
Okay, what do you guys think of Elon Musk coming out and admitting that in the beginning of the conflict, Ukraine was going to do a drone attack of the Russian fleet, and he shut off Starlink, so they couldn't.
Oh, I heard that too. Yeah.
And he admitted that he did it.
Well,
he didn't want to get involved. He said if he got involved,
Elon Musk wants an expansion of this war.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he wants to do everything he can to prevent that.
The left hate that man. Hate Musk. They hate him.
Well, it would affect his space program, he said. Something about that, too.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So he's probably got a bunch of reasons why he didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, the big thing was escalation, and he didn't want the world getting closer to nuclear war. And he
didn't want to be
didn't want to be on either side. He didn't want to be on, being seen, being on either side in this conflict.
He wanted to be Switzerland. He wanted to be like Switzerland in that.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
By the way, Joe Gibson, Elon Musk is African American now. You know that.
Yeah, he is. He's an African American.
That's it. I can't stand him. I can't stand him. That's it.
Yeah.
And there was another one that came out today. Joe Biden, somebody asked him about his Bidenomics and why things haven't gone down. He admitted that it wasn't about trying to stop inflation, and he wished he hadn't called it that.
He didn't call it anything. It's them people around him that are pulling the strings that call everything.
Yeah.
He's senile. He's demented. He doesn't know anything other than what they tell him to say and what remnants of memory he has from his corrupt past.
Right.
Five plastic bags of groceries the other day, $118.
Lord have mercy.
Ooh.
I'm telling you. It's
similar prices myself.
They need to have a crying room at the grocery store. I'm not kidding.
Yes,
it's bad.
Idea.
They need to have more farmers markets. That's what they need to be having.
Yeah.
Yep. Our farmers markets are doing big business right around this area.
Good. Ours are too.
But
you know, we need meat.
Well,
we need meat too, though.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve said that it doesn't plan on raising interest rates again in September. And you want to know why? Unemployment rate went up and job creation went down. They've literally admitted it. Biden did too. They're admitting that the whole reason why they've been increasing the interest rates is to cause higher unemployment and less job creation, because that will fight inflation. That's their fucking logic about that, you guys.
Good God.
That's their logic. We can fight inflation with the more people that are unemployed.
Right.
More people that lose their jobs, the more companies don't create new jobs, then we can get a handle on inflation.
Hmm.
They are
the only reason. The only reason why they do that is because that way, if you're unemployed, then they've got you. That you're under their thumb.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you remember?
Absolutely. I mean,
do you
they're
remember
just stopping short and saying, "Hey, yeah, we
Jimmy
need a
Carter.
Recession." You know.
Do you remember
they're
the term they had to come up
saying
for Jimmy Carter's economy? They had to coin a term called stagflation. Remember that? High unemployment and high inflation. We've got stagflation going on right now, and nobody wants to associate the current economic climate with Jimmy Carter because he got his ass whooped in a landslide in 1980.
Yeah.
The other thing is, remember when gas prices went up like crazy during Obama, and he said, you know, gas, you know, grocery prices are going to go up. It's just because the cost of gas right now, but we're working on getting gas prices down, and when the gas prices come down, it'll the grocery prices will come back down. And grocery store companies said that once they get to a certain price and it stays at a certain price for, I think it was like a year and a half. It might have been 2 years, just over 2 years. The price never comes back down. And we're past that. So the grocery prices you're paying now are pretty much what you're going to you'll see maybe like a small dip, like a 2% dip in prices.
Yeah.
But it's never, they're never going back down.
Bullshit.
Well, you know, that's
exactly.
The one thing
they're
that
never
going to
give that up.
Well, that's the one thing that Obama did.
They've already got
us
trained to accept these prices.
Well, that's why cost of living is never hooked to gasoline prices or hooked to grocery prices, even though that's one thing everybody needs.
Oh, excuse me, guys. I don't mean to change the subject, but I saw something that's so startling. I just got to share this with you. Guess who wrote this? Listen to this now, and you're going to be amazed when I tell you who wrote this. I support gun safety, but there is no such thing as a state public health emergency exception to the United States Constitution. You want to take a guess on who wrote that?
Ron DeSantis.
Bernie Sanders.
I don't
know. No, close. David Hogg, that little punk from the, what you call it, shooting down in Florida. Parkland.
Oh, David Hogg, yeah.
David Hogg wrote that. You know this dame is in trouble when people like that fanatic write something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hey, Lori.
David Hogg, Ted Lieu, that congressman, he wrote something similar. He said, I support gun safety laws. However, this order from the governor of New Mexico violates the United States Constitution. No state in the union can suspend the federal constitution. There is no such thing as a state public health emergency exception to the United States Constitution. Ted Lieu wrote that. Big assault weapons banner.
He actually came out against.
Hell must be freezing over with some of these leftists.
Yep, he actually came out against MLG and her and the thing that she said.
St. Louis Jones, what's her name? Tashara Jones, first black female mayor. She's suspending the Constitution in her city.
How can they suspend the Constitution?
And they said Trump was a dictator. Good Lord. These same people. Oh, man. It's impossible to overstate these people's. Now, hypocrisy didn't even begin to describe these people. Got to have a new word. We got to make up a new word for what they are.
But they can't do that. That's, they don't have the power to do that.
Nope, they don't.
Trump was a dictator, mind you. Trump.
Yep.
Bosley wanted to suspend the Second Amendment in his ward.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
See, these people think that they're going to balkanize the United States where maybe they can do that. See, they want to turn us into a greater federal republic of Yugoslavia or something like that, where we got a bunch of warring ethnic enclaves that can have their own version of the Constitution as they wish it while they pretend to obey the Constitution. This is what they want. Mm-hmm. This is what the Democrats and the leftists want. It's kind of a prelude to eventually getting rid of the Constitution, kind of balkanizing it. You know what I mean?
We ain't going to let it happen.
Who knows? If we let them keep getting away with this, they will get what they want. We let this woman get away with this thing unchallenged, this will serve as the opening shot for others to do the same thing. I'm telling you right now, there's at least 22 other states that are probably willing to consider adopting similar or worse measures than what she did.
Digital currency. As soon as they get that, that's it. We're all done.
Well, I know they're willing to try anything if they think they can get away with it. We just shouldn't let them get away with it.
Right.
Okay, one good thing that came out also is the 5th District Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans ruled against Joe Biden and said that they violated the First Amendment by putting pressure on social media companies to remove so-called false content.
Yes. That court upheld or overruled the previous court's decision and is upholding the ban now on the White House or the government dictating what is and is not misinformation and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's basically
ordering
the government hands off.
All right. There's a win.
So are they putting back in place where any White House officials cannot meet with the social media giants?
And, you know, it's no coincidence because when the lower court upheld the Biden administration and government dictating to social media and, allowed it, that's when I think a lot of us on Facebook, all of a sudden, once again, we're getting dinged for posts that we posted months ago or even years ago. Me, I got dinged for the same post twice, and now you're going to see that dissipate again. It's like they were doing it while they could, like they knew that they wouldn't be able to do this for much longer. So they, you know, did their scrubbing and bam, you know, get everybody in Facebook jail for crap that they posted years ago. And now they're going to have a hard time doing that. So I don't think we'll be seeing a whole lot.
Well, now I did see
soon for a while.
Last night, after I got home from work, I was watching a show and I saw a commercial come on that, and I couldn't find out from what company it was, but it, because I wasn't paying attention because I was doing stuff in the kitchen. Anyway, and it stated, don't believe everything you read on social media. Always go and do your research. And I'm like, yeah, that's why there's a whole bunch of us out here that you call us conspiracy theorists because we do our damn research. Go ahead. Keep saying it. We'll make sure everybody does their research.
Yep. Fact check.
That's what it was. But it didn't say it was a fact check, you know, because I was figuring it was going to come out as one of the government fact check places.
What a mess.
No, I mean, they're just trying to do it because the more technology we get, the less time we have. This is supposed to give us more time and, you know, to be able to be at leisure and check things out. And people don't even have time to read a book anymore unless they actually stake out time to do it because they throw so much at you to do. You know, you have to live up to the Joneses, so you have to make this kind of money. Your kids have to be doing this kind of stuff. you have to be involved in this kind of stuff. And by the end of the day, you have, you know, you're overloaded. So nobody really does go do the fact check. Checking anymore.
Well, you know,
until now all of a sudden everything's starting to blow
saying,
up and people are like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I love, like, now they're saying do your research and don't trust everything that you see on the internet. But that was not the case during COVID. No. No,
no, it wasn't.
We were too stupid to do our own research then. We're dummies.
No, that's, yeah.
You know?
That's true. That's so true.
That's what the lawsuit was about. Was COVID.
Yeah, so true.
I mean, there's no way they're going to pull that shit off again.
Yeah, we just didn't know what was good for us. All the experts were telling us what would be good for us. And they were wrong about almost everything of importance.
Everything.
To 30 days, 2 weeks to stop the spread. A mask will guarantee or likely prevent transmission or receiving an infection from COVID. You need to double, triple, quadruple, quintuple, octuple your boosting shots, and you won't get COVID again, even after you got it the last three times before you got the next injection. I mean, everything was wrong. Everything. And now they're ready to try to work on us again? This time, hell, they might be right. And then they cried wolf.
Yeah.
Where's the boat? Medical ship. Where's it at?
What boat?
The medical
the
ship.
The one that never did anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one they had parked off the on harbor in New York Harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they sent the old people back.
They didn't need it.
The old infected people back into the nursing homes.
Mercy.
Yeah, they put them back in the nursing homes so they could die. We're from the government, and we're here to help. Now, remember that. Remember that next time. We're from the government, and we're here to help.
Was that the one transporting all the children?
Right, exactly. And that's what I was just about to say, Joe.
My God. My God. All I can
say is children.
I hope we learned our lessons somewhat. Not to be so goddamn gullible, and let's not especially believe it, this is the most secure and honest election in the history of United States presidential elections, especially that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we dropped the ball. I mean.
Damn sure did.
But, damn. They took it and ran. They took an inch and ran a mile, man.
You know, everyone's quite worried about January 6th, but, you know, those are good numbers. There was close to 1 million people there, and only 700 people got arrested. Or was it 1,000 now? That's good numbers. That's good odds.
How many got arrested?
How many got convicted, actually? It was about 700-something, right?
I saw four Proud Boys. They showed on a news the other night. I don't know how true this is. They got like 17 years, 15 years.
Yeah, 22 years.
Enrique Terrio, 22 years.
The leader
for
of the Proud Boys,
one of them now.
He got 22. He got
my
22
God,
years.
Y'all, come on now. Come on now.
22 years. He wasn't even there.
Somebody in Portland, an Antifa in Portland can beat the shit out of your 14-year-old, rape him, and leave him for dead, and get less time.
The problem with Enrico Terrio and the rest of them Proud Boys was that they rioted for the wrong side. You could set fire to a federal judicial building, assault federal officers, a deputized U.S. Marshal there to protect the place, try to blind them with lasers, shoot fireworks at them, and don't get nothing. In fact, you get rewarded in lawsuits when you sue the state.
Right.
Exactly.
He just rioted for the wrong side. That was his problem. But by the way, he didn't even riot. He wasn't even in the Capitol. He didn't even set foot on the Capitol grounds.
So who is this cat? Why did he get 22 years? Who is he?
Because they wanted to send a message. Don't you dare oppose what we say are valid elections. They make an example of these people. This is political lawfare. This is our American version of the Night of the Long Knives.
Yeah, yeah. So he truly didn't do a thing and did get 22 years for it.
That's right. This is a great terror, American
man.
Style. The Great Purge.
Yeah, and then the cop that murdered Ashley Babbitt got promoted.
What?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and he's a hero, by the way.
Yeah.
Babbitt,
not my eyes.
Go out some time in the future. Murder has no statute of limitation.
Well, it's blatant, man. This is just as blatant as it can be. I don't think it's ever been more blatant in American history. The only thing I think comparable is going on now is what happened in the wake of World War One with the Palmer Raids by Woodrow Wilson. He hated the Constitution, too, by the way. And we've got a similar thing going on today with this persecution of Donald Trump, his associates, the people on January 6th. We are seeing what the deep state allied with progressive Marxists and the Democrat Party is willing to do to its opponent. They're willing to pull out all the stops. They've made that clear now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know that things are kind of falling apart on them because, like here in New Mexico, after our governor passed that insane illegal law to get rid of handguns and open carry stuff here in Albuquerque, our mayor, who is just as leftist as she is, will not enforce that.
Really?
I found that out a little while ago, and the sheriff, the Bernalillo County sheriff that we talked about on my show, he's a Democrat too. He won't enforce it. And then Elon Musk has also said she needs to be removed from office.
Sure did.
Huh.
And they're starting impeachment stuff here in the state.
Oh, wow.
I just cannot get over a governor saying that my oath to my office is not absolute. I just can't get over that one.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I can understand him saying that, but then if you say that and you mean it, if you have an ounce of integrity in your body, you would resign immediately.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like
power.
Obama.
She wants power for its own sake, to be able to institute it on her subjects, not her citizens, her subjects.
Well, she's got people from all over the state that are just totally outraged over that one. So, and they're starting to show signs of wanting to impeach her. So that's a good thing.
Well, two state representatives, a woman named Stephanie Lord and a man named John Block, are calling for impeachment.
Oh, absolutely.
So apparently
some
officials are at least stepping up to start going to this. And by the way, she didn't have the guts to try to make it a criminal offense. I guess she couldn't since the legislator didn't do it. Under emergency order provision, she said a violator could face a civil penalty and a fine of up to $5,000. So she's not even trying to pretend that violating her unconstitutional illegal order is even a criminal act.
Yeah, and she just declared it an executive order. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's executive order. I mean, I was just astonished when I read it. I thought it was a Babylon Bee when I first heard this. That can't be. This is a joke. But these leftists are making it more and more impossible to parody them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but that Stephanie Lord and John Block here in New Mexico are two of the staunch Republican conservatives that really go after her almost every time. But this time they're really going after her.
That would be kind of like, I don't know, a conservative mayor. I guess one of their pet documents is unrestricted abortion. And a Republican says that in violation of the state legislation and the state laws, I'm just going to clear anybody who either receives or solicits or performs an abortion, a criminal or a civil penalty on them for doing it.
Yep.
Well, you know,
I mean, then they might understand why we're so goddamn pissed But that's not even a right in the Constitution. Unlike the right to keep and bear arms, there ain't no constitutional right to an abortion there.
Well, you know, Cinnamon or Laurie, well, where in the hell are these women coming from with these type of attitudes? We can name a bunch of them, especially the prosecutors.
Man, can't we, though? Because they're feminist women, man. They got indoctrinated with all this radical gender-determinant feminism, which is founded in Marxism and dialectical materialism. We got to understand, all these people are schooled in this way of thinking. In college, mainly.
Now, see, I'm all for girl power, but, you know, I still have a working brain.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about girl power. I'm talking about radical gender-determinant feminism based on identity. And that identity is steeped in Marxist notion. That's why they all come out like this with this kind of stuff. That's why they think the way they do.
Look at that judge, that black female judge is running for appellate judge, I forget where, on Joe Brown's show yesterday. You remember her? You was on
there. Yeah. Oh, man. She was really holding her tongue, too. I could tell she wanted to cut loose.
Yeah, she did. She said, well, we need more like me for us. You know, the buzzword, us, because she knew she was on a black station. So when I got to talk, I said, Valerie, did you tell this woman that she's on a conservative black station?
She was surprised to find out how conservative we were. And you notice that we solicited her to advance her opinions. We said, we're not trying to keep you from telling what you think. She said she was reluctant to say anything because she could see we were conservatives, as though we're afraid of her opinions. And none of us are afraid of her opinions. We want to hear what she has to say so we can respond to it. But she was reluctant to advance her opinions, not us asking her to express them.
The very thing that she said is what I always comment on. She's against school choice. And I said, you mean to tell me that 70% of blacks, when polled and surveyed, they want school choice? You against school choice? And she comes talking about, well, that takes money from the public school. I said, you mean to tell me that a parent, oh, even though they're marginal and poor, they're functional, and they do the things necessary? You mean that they should keep their child in those environments where they're not learning? She didn't know how to handle that. But that's the things what they be put. That's what
she's wedded to the teachers union and the educational bureaucracy. She doesn't want to run afoul of them.
Oh, hell no,
she didn't want to say anything to the contrary. She's looking for their support. I bet you when she runs for election, she's one of the primary contributors and supporters she's going to be looking to will be the teachers' union and the education bureaucracy in, what was that state she was on? She was in Missouri.
I told her, didn't I? I mentioned George Soros.
Yeah, she's looking for the very people who we are criticizing. She's looking for their support. We were talking about the teachers' union and the education bureaucracies in these big blue cities where all these black students are failing so abysmally in terms of standardized testing and state certification standards. And she is looking for the support of those very people who are enabling this dismal state of educational affairs.
Well, and then they put out this stuff about the test is created by whites and the test is racist. And I asked them, how in the hell is multiplication and subtraction and addition racist, man? How is it?
It's because being on time is racist. Supporting the Constitution is racist. Being applying meritocratic standards is racist. All of these things are racist according to these crazy people.
We write with black ink. See, that's what it is.
That's racist.
That's racist.
You're pressing a pen.
You're damn right. And white out, and you just slop it just right over the black, you know.
Turn it right over the black ink. Once again, more racism. People are lunatics.
That's crazy. That's what they say, though.
And we got to remember this, man. This sort of thinking, these college campuses, I swear to God, where these people are educated, these people are going to be our future governors and leaders. They're going to govern us and they're going to lead us. They are infested with this nonsense.
Yeah. Yep.
It may be funny, and it is, but it's going to be deadly serious when they get complete control.
Mm-hmm.
We got to fight them.
Every citizen, especially female, need to wear their gun. Put that gun on your hip. It sends a message. And
it
also
does.
Make people become more acquainted with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny now, but it ain't going to be funny forever when more and more of these millennials and Generation Zers actually get control of the levers of power.
You know, do you think the colleges are all the same nationwide, or do you think, you know, possibly maybe in the South being a little more conservative that some of the professors could be all right? Now, I went to UNA, University of North Alabama, and it was a complete conservative school. But now I came through in, let's see, 96 to 2001, where that safe spot, that it had just became a big deal to have a safe campus where people can get in and talk and do whatever they want to about anybody. I remember that. Go ahead.
They talk about the South rising again.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, South fall again, it's all over. Forget about it. It's all over, Sarge.
I'm going to answer the gentleman's question directly, and you're going to be a bit dismayed by what you hear.
No,
I'm looking at a report right now called Going Woke in Dixie, The Progress of Diversity,
wow,
Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Alabama and Auburn University.
What?
And the report is dismal.
Let's hear it.
Here's what it says, that based on this report and their study of these two universities, these two premier southern universities,
right,
they're saying this. DEI policies, which have a huge beachhead in these schools, are based on the following assumptions. America harbors unconscious racism, implicit racism against blacks, equal rights, free speech, meritocracy, and the law itself reinforce a regime of white supremacy as old as the United States itself. Only through tearing down the regime of meritocracy, equal rights, and free speech can, quote, underrepresented minorities, unquote, become free. And it says here that their conclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion are really cover words for transforming higher education institutions into activist arms for the American progressive left.
Damn.
I didn't say I was going to be encouraged by it. So I'm starting to wonder. There are colleges out there like Hillsdale. Hillsdale is definitely an exception. They are devoted to the traditional, aspirational goals of American universities.
Right.
You know, intellectual inquiry, research using the scientific method, linear reasoning, abstract principles, and so on and so forth. But they're becoming an increasing rarity in today's academia, and they're almost non-existent at the Ivy League higher education schools like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, they're gone. The Ivy League, are definitely. They're
drinking. And that's where all the elite leadership tends to come from.
Yeah, that's sad.
So we're in trouble. Education, man, is infested with leftists and communists and Marxists and radicals of every stripe.
They won't
come up. I think there's only one hope for this country. And that is, a lot of Generation Zers and millennials are libertarian, as is Lori, and they're not going to like the idea of these petty tyrants lording it over them. That may be a hope.
Yeah.
Well, they came up with that affirmative action program of spotting blacks for 310 points on the test before they even sat down and took it, and deducting from agents 140 and nothing for whites.
We don't get nothing for riding the date or nothing.
270 for Hispanics. A bunch of bull. And why would you do that? When those kids get into those classrooms, they cannot carry the course load. I mean, it's not the child's fault. Where it all began was before they even got to college, back in those public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm putting a link to that report in the chat room if you want to read it.
Oh, yeah.
I just put a report, a link to it. It's right there. You can look at that for yourself and read it and weep.
Hey, did you put the – y'all said something about the Convention of States information. Is that somewhere in the chat room too?
I will put it in there again if you would
okay.
wish.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. But you read that report, Going Woke in Dixie, you're going to read it in a week.
Come on, man.
It's dismaying, sir. It's dismaying.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
And here's the – did you realize I'm looking right now at the dean of the University of Alabama, a black woman, and she says that the purpose of the university – listen, the primary purpose of the university – is to advocate diversity, equity, and inclusion. A dean of education at the University of Alabama.
Wow.
Now, you know you're in trouble when you hear people openly saying stuff like this.
That's
you know what that equity means, don't you? They're going to take some of your money, Daniel.
Oh, they didn't took my damn money.
Yeah. Black.
I think if many people who are not on board with this were as aware as we are of all these things going on, they would be marching in the street. We got to remember, the mainstream media does everything possible to ensure they do not know of these things.
Right. Yeah.
And they got the organizers in Canada for the Freedom Convoy. Their trial is coming up real soon. I mean, what did they do wrong? From what I've seen, they just had a bunch of trucks following them on a route.
Right. I don't know. I don't think I can get into the chat room. I wasn't logged into the computer. And we're in overtime. I don't think I can log in now.
Oh, okay.
Somebody send it to me, Lori or somebody or just whoever.
Which one you want, the Going Woke in Dixie?
That one, and if anybody's got any information about the Convention of States. Yeah.
I'm about to put that in the chat room, too. If you don't have it already, pop.
And just send it to the group or send it to Kathy C. Jones. I don't even have a Facebook account. I mean, I use Mama's. I don't even worry about it. It just became too much.
Yeah. It became overwhelming sometimes, I'll admit.
Man, I'm telling you. I cannot believe that about the southern universities, man. I thought they would.
Put it this way: this encourages you, and I don't know if it will or not, but they're not as infected as a lot of the other universities. But make no mistake about it: many of them are definitely infected.
Yeah.
Kathy,
I mean, they're not as infected, but they're definitely infected. You know. Let me put a link for it. I found it here. I'm going to paste the link for it right now for you so somebody can send it to you, and you will have it for the Convention of States as well. The more people that have this information to share with other people, the better.
Oh, yeah.
Did we ever figure out who 505 area code is? That's me.
Okay, there's the link. I just link to the Convention of States, that's in there too, so somebody can send both of them to you if they can.
Appreciate you, Sarge.
I'd appreciate you even more if you spread the word as far and wide as you can.
Oh yeah, I will.
Yeah, the 505 area code, that's me here in New Mexico. This is Robert for NWCR Radio.
Oh, okay, Robert.
Where was John Doe at tonight? Did he not make it? I don't guess so.
How did everybody make out in their voting integrity laws there? Did anybody contact their representative? Or I know I did.
Yeah, I sent emails to several of them. But, again, remember, my U.S. congressional representative is Hank Johnson. So you know what good that's going to do, sending shit to that fool.
Yeah. I sent it to him.
It's not a utility if ever I saw one, but I did send it to him. Same thing with Warnock and Ossoff, my two senators.
Right. Oh, wow. You're from
another
Georgia, huh?
Another size and double futility.
I need to just catch up on my Alabama state stuff. Donnie mentions stuff all the time about Alabama, and I watch no mainstream media news at all. I watch Newsmax, if I watch any.
I watch Newsmax, too.
You know, I just cannot stand any more lies. I'm tired of it. I cannot. Everything they say is a fucking lie, and it's just too much, man. It's just too much.
Biden, Joe Biden, is one never-ending compendium of lies. From start to finish at any of his public appearances, the only question is not whether he's going to lie. It's how many lies he's going to say in the same conference or the same speech.
Yeah.
Lies,
yeah, when...
big and small, but there will be lies, and there will be a multiplicity of...
They keep showing that one, you know, I did not communicate with my son on any business dealings, you know, and, you know, it's been months since we all found out that he did, you know.
Now, wait, which name are you talking about? Are you talking about the name Robert L. Robert L. Palmer, or that other name he used, the pseudonyms he used, unrelated to his Secret Service code names?
The big guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he likes,
you know,
that.
I was watching a video on YouTube. A white guy was interviewing a couple black men and a couple black women, and he was showing them a tape of when Biden was a senator, and he's up there talking about he didn't want his kids to go to school with now I can't remember what the hell he said.
Well, he didn't want his children going to an integrated school through forced busing because he didn't want them entering a racial jungle.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my
jungle.
God.
Well, that's not all. He said other things on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe it. All four of them there were stunned. They said, why didn't we hear this before?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, you have to look things up.
It's, blacks didn't want their kids to be bused out of their community.
No.
Right.
But you never hear nothing. Man, there's so much shit to go on. It's hard to keep up with this stuff. Good thing they came up with
it. It sure is, man. I'm trying to keep up with facts, current events, so much. You ought to see this pile of books I got that I ain't got around to reading yet. I stacked them up to your highness. It comes up to my neck, and I'm 6 feet tall. I really ain't been able to read these books I done got because I'm so busy trying to keep up with current events. I can't believe how outrageous all this shit is.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarge. Go to Amazon. Make sure you write a review on that book about me.
Oh yeah. I've got it half finished. Maybe I ought to read it to you. See if you approve or not.
Hey, Sarge, have you read the book on the culture of corruption?
I got the book right here, Joe. I'm looking at it right now. Behind the Walls, based on a true story. Arthur Joel heading it. Published by Worldwide Unique Media in cooperation with Information Publishing, Meriden, Connecticut. So I got it right here in my hot little hands. It's got a lot of pictures and news clippings and everything else in it. Kind of interesting. Mistrial declared as jury asked out. 8-member panel dismissed after fearing for safety. And the Connecticut Post. Jurors fear leads to mistrial in case about prison attack. Bridgeport jury fears for safety once out of trial. Man, this is pretty interesting stuff.
Now, Sarge, hold on. You got all these books. Have you read Culture of Corruption?
Yes, I have it. I own it.
Ooh, okay.
Michelle Malcolm. Yeah, I got it. I'm looking at it right now on my shelf. Culture of Corruption.
Oh, it predicts
all the stuff went on
with
Biden.
She's not
looking.
I'm starting to
let everybody know. Just to let everybody know, if you want a free copy or whatever, I can send you one.
Oh, I would love one.
Well, Devin, why do you tell me that if I paid money for it?
Oh, damn.
No,
come on, Dark. You got the money to buy it. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Well, you can send me an extra one. Maybe I'll give it to somebody else.
There you go.
We got to get
pay it forward.
Yeah, pay it forward.
Just send me a message on Facebook with your address, and I'll send it to you. Whoever
I
wants
sure
to
will. I sure all will. Right.
Oh, it's really an interesting book. You might want to check it out.
You'll definitely
get a new perspective on Joe. And like I said, after having looked through it, I admire him all the more. Even though he was caught up in a criminal past, I think he more than made up for it through his conduct.
Oh, yeah.
Good on you, Joe.
Is it an autobiography? So, is that what it is, or what's up?
No, not really an autobiography. Let Joe explain. He knows better than me.
I consider it a crime novel. That's what Fox News calls it, a crime novel.
Yeah.
Sarge, we got to get Joe and Donnie and Daniel to get that book by Tlaib Stark.
By who?
By Tlaib Stark, the author.
Oh, yeah. That might be very interesting for them. For you.
The war.
Yeah, the war against, well, you say the word. I don't want to get him in trouble on his station here. But
yeah,
that book cracked me up, man. I swear to God, man, that book cracked me up. The Uncivil War, Black versus you know what.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
He got the funniest glossary at the front of the book, too. It is hilarious.
I was just looking at the 10 most dangerous cities. And Chicago is not one of them.
Hey, Lori.
Can anybody hear that?
I can.
I heard you. You were kind of low, though.
Oh, Joe. Hey, Joe.
And, yeah.
Oh, can I send my address to you and you send it to Joseph because I don't have him as a friend?
Sure
thing.
I'm back in front of my computer so I can take those links and send it to Facebook to Kathy's account, too.
That'll work. Perfect.
And you have my email address, right? If you want to email me, you should have my email address, lucid-libertarian@outlook.com.
Okay, @outlook.com. Is that what you said?
Yeah, lucid-libertarian@outlook.com.
Okay. I'm going to write that down.
I can ask you guys a question.
Send it out Monday morning.
It is a question to me.
What is that background that's drowning everybody out?
Terrible.
I don't
know. Hey, Joe, did I tell you about that book by Jonathan Walker, Churchill's Third World War, The British Plans to Attack the Soviet Empire in 1945, using, by the way, 10 divisions of rearmed German troops?
Get away.
What?
Well, it's a book. It's by a gentleman named Jonathan Walker. It's called Churchill's Third World War, and he concocted a fairly detailed, in fact, a very detailed plan, according to the book, of a preemptive offensive to against the Red Army making any further westward advances in Europe right after VE Day. And they were going to equip 10 divisions of German troops with Allied weapons and institute them into an Allied army that would either halt the Russian advance or roll it back. And he called it Operation Unthinkable.
Now, this is after the surrender?
This is after the German surrender, right.
Whoa.
And it's called Churchill's Third World War, British Plans to Attack the Soviet Empire, 1945. The author is Jonathan Walker.
Wow.
Right.
It was actually a, now they, when they found out about it, Churchill said it's just a contingency plan, but it was actually put down on paper and war games. They war game an Allied offensive with 10 divisions of rearmed German troops. There were about three corps of Germans. They said they weren't going to pick anybody from the SS, but they would pick Wehrmacht soldiers who had been demobilized. But, of course, there probably would have been some SS troops in there, too. You know, there's no way they're going to keep guys who've been like in the Leibstandarte or Das Reich or Totenkopf, and they're going to forego all that combat experience. There's no fucking way they would have done that. So you would have had a mixture of SS and Wehrmacht troops in the Allied armies fighting back against the Soviet Union.
What? And yeah, that's what Patton wanted, too.
Yep.
It's actually a plan. I'm looking at it, man. They got the documents. They got transcripts of pages from it and everything else in this book. The plan delivers top secret Russian threat to Russian Western civilization.
Unthinkable.
Sir Alan Brooks, Chief Field Marshal Sir Alan Brooks, read the plan. He said this, this evening I went carefully through the planner's report on the possibility of taking on Russia should trouble arise in our future discussions with her. We were instructed to carry out this investigation. The idea is, of course, fantastic, and the chances of success quite impossible. There is no doubt that from now onwards, Russia is all-powerful in Europe. But then later on, he went on to say, despite the likelihood of failure, we must consider this as a probability.
Which penny? I got 1943 penny, right? That's silver. Is that the one that's worth a lot? No,
either an echo or some kind of background noise going on in the background. I don't know what it is.
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. I've been muted when I'm not talking, so I know it's not me.
Me neither.
Well, definitely not me, I guarantee that. But
it can't be me.
Well, it just stopped there, so I don't know what it was. Well, maybe they caught it and stopped. No, but it says 1945. That's when the plan was promulgated. Sometime just before they started looking at it, just before the VE Day surrender on May 8th, 1945, so they were making the plans before the German surrender.
No, I was asking you off that subject. Never mind, I found out already. I got
so I didn't hear it because of that noise. So what was the question?
I have a 1940. I was going through some because I collect coins and everything. And I was going through some. I found one of my 1943 silver pennies.
Worth money.
I got 1863. That sucker's old.
Yeah, I'm not a newest Smith, whatever they call coins.
Indian heads. They're Indian heads. Those years, when anything in the 1800s is Indian head. It's weird looking.
Right.
You ever seen one?
Oh, yeah.
No, well, I've seen one, and not in person, but I've seen them.
Yeah, I have several of them that my grandfather collected and that, you know, he gave to me. I have several Indian head pennies, yeah.
They're in great shape. They're just made good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I know. They've
yeah, they
been
were
really made
copper,
good.
Copper, man. Other things were completely copper. They weren't copper alloy or anything like that.
What about the buffalo nickel, the buffalo with the three legs? He's worth a lot.
Yeah, I got one of those. I got a whole book. Do it. Whole book of them every year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what I need to get, one of those books.
I've been collecting coins all my life pretty much. You know, handed down and whatnot. So I just hang on to them and
really, really, like, I thought about selling some of them, but how? How do you sell them? I mean, it's like nobody. What am I going to go to a coin shop and get ripped off?
Well, you go to a coin shop, they'll tell you you have to send it to some place.
Like eBay or something, auction
someplace
site.
Someplace in California to, verify it, confirm it, its validity. And that costs like $40 to even do that. And then sell it. Then you can sell it on eBay or whatever for hopefully more than that. You know, I mean, come on.
You usually get more for them when you do get them professionally graded.
Mm-hmm.
But you could still sell them. And there's, you know, depending on the year and the condition, you know, some are worth more than others. But, you know, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of collectors will go to eBay and auction sites like that because they do get ripped off at the coin shop. Because, of course, the coin shop's got to make a profit.
Yeah,
Joe Gibson, I got the same thing. My grandfather, when he was in the Norwegian Merchant Marines, even before World War II, he went all over the world and he collected coins, and I still have, you know, a lot of really kind of cool ones that he collected, like from South Africa and China and stuff like that. It's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I got tons of them, man. I got, you know, like the Indian, the penny, wheat pennies. I got, like, cases of them and tubes, of them. Every single year.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah, you got a lot. You got a lot.
It's like I don't know what to do with them, you know? It's like I'm to the point now where I'm like, you know, what now? What do I do with them? You know, I got everything here.
Keep them, and if you ever go broke, you won't be broke anymore.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, how do you sell them? Because, you know, I mean, because I got the IRS coming after me now, so I don't want them to get a hold of stuff like this, so.
With a collection as big as yours, you would get in touch with somebody that runs like some kind of coin auction or something like that, and
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
You go to an auction house, Joe. Go to an auction house. That's where they get rid of this stuff like this.
Where though? I'm thinking if the economy collapses, this stuff's gonna be no good to me. You know,
that silver will.
Well, silver, yeah. I got silver
bars.
Those
that are rich will still want them. There's a lot of avid coin collectors out there. Don't underestimate them.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
When the shit hits the fan, the rich people are going to want those old coins even more.
Oh, yeah. The rich is going to stay rich no matter what happens.
And I got a lot of silver, too, especially quarters, a lot of silver quarters, you know, in the 40s, 30s, 20s.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. It's every quarter before 1974 was silver.
Really? I thought it was 65. Yeah. I thought it was 1965.
You could be right.
They called it junk silver, though. So it was like, they called it junk silver. I think they're like 90% silver.
Those are
worth money, too, just, you know, mainly for the silver price.
I was looking up the 1922 Liberty dollar. I got one of those. Those are worth big bucks, I heard. 1922 with the Liberty or whatever. I think it's the Liberty with the
Liberty. Yeah.
Why I don't understand why
it's
22.
Oh my God,
me
I get
too.
So annoyed, especially Liberty. That little kid that's like driving the toy car.
Ah,
you know,
him.
And it's like, oh my God, you got. Not only did you have that annoying song, but now you got this annoying kid. Liberty.
Sounds like a girl.
You know, how about that commercial with that big girl singing all the time? I want to beat her ass. I really do. I don't hit women, but I want to beat her.
Talking about that Ozempic commercial.
Oh, my God. That is the worst commercial ever.
You can't even tell it's an
Ozempic commercial until the end. It's like, what? That's a medicine commercial? Looks like a Disney.
You know, when I get to be president, I'm going to outlaw all the commercials that deal with these damn medicines.
Yeah.
Yeah, when was that law repealed? Because they used to not be allowed to advertise like that. And then somebody somewhere repealed that law and made it legal for the pharma companies to direct advertise.
Huh.
Somebody look that up.
Never did. Now it's every damn thing.
That one I hate, the two guys on the scooter, and one guy's got his arms out. No, he's on the front of the other guy's bicycle. I think they turn around and kiss. It's awful.
An auction house in St. Louis is called Silkirks. Silkirk. So look them up and call them. Tell them what you got.
What is it called? Silk what?
He said KKK. I don't know what he said.
Silkirk. Auctioneers.
Okay. All right, I'll look them up.
You probably got auctioneers.
I'm going to get rid of this stuff.
You got auctioneers.
I can't find nothing in North Carolina, man. I can't find nothing.
I can't find nothing here. I went to Madison, but I don't know. You don't know who to trust either.
I know. That's the thing.
I mean, shit.
Oh, yeah, you walk into these coin shops, right? There's always one guy standing at the case, right? One guy at the register, you know, and then two people in the back scurrying around, you know, looking at a computer.
Send them a picture
of it.
Yeah, you can do that. Send them a picture of it.
What? Oh, God, a picture of everything? Man, I'll be here forever taking pictures.
Or just what you're curious
about.
Yeah,
just like
now.
The big stuff. Yeah. Like the 22, yeah. Wow. Hmm. Yeah,
hey, have y'all seen any folding, any bills, folding money that has any date past 2017? That was the last year.
Yeah, I looked. I heard you when you said that. I did some research on that. You're absolutely correct. There is no money past 2017.
There's none.
Although I did find an order